Talk Live.
Oh, bagok. You're a bagok. I'm a bagok.
He's the quack.
Okay.
I'm the quack.
In the studio tonight, it's the bagok, the bagok, and the quack.
There you go.
All right, bro.
It's going to be an interesting show. Please call now and save us.
The domestic terrorism hotline is 603-283-6160. If you want to call and join in tonight's edition of Free Talk Live, Captain's Log, Stardate 04212024. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, LLC. Joining me.
501c3 Corporation.
Steve Classic.
And Richie Rich. Thought yesterday
I'm trying to get you to add the 501c3.
Well, I mean, it's maybe. Not like I'm not actually a 501c3. So
well, it gives you something to work
towards.
It might
be a 501c3PO. That's C-3PO wearing some Levi's.
Ooh.
501s.
501c3. Yeah. Oh, wow.
501c3PO. That's wow. Right. That's right. Star Wars joke here on Free Talk Live.
Go figure. Nerds. Nerds.
Did I take care of all the business? I hope I did. I feel like
yeah,
I
you got the star date.
Star date. Right. Captain
yeah,
in the studio.
We got the, yeah. The domestic
still palindrome
hotline.
Week.
It is palindrome
depending
week.
On how you count things.
Well, the
whole
how
week?
You put the numbers in order yeah. In front of your face is yeah. Really, you know, yeah. Ironically,
just listening to two other hosts like try to figure that out on the air.
It's whoa. The whole week. Wow.
Well, it was 4:20 too, so it was even more
okay.
Like, whoa.
Right. Fair enough.
All right. We had to put some extra
excuses.
It's not an excuse. It's a fact, as you are wont to do.
Yes.
Point out the facts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of the situation.
Mr. Only Right.
And
always right.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
I you know, don't quote me on this. But there's a quote or a saying.
Don't quote me, but here's a quote.
Well, because I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't know the actual quote. And I think it's from Mark Furman, what, the wait, OJ lawyer.
Okay, but what do you call it if you quote a paraphrase?
I mean, you're quoting a paraphrase. A quote a phrase?
You're just paraphrasing.
There you go. Yeah, I just gave you two.
All right, very well.
Pick one.
No.
Okay.
Mark Furman said,
don't so tell me what to do, man.
This was like in his book after the OJ trial, apparently. Right. But he said, you know, if the law is in your favor, pound on the law. If the law is not in your favor, pound on the facts.
Whoa.
And if the law and the facts are not in your favor, pound on the podium.
Huh.
Wow.
As a legal technique for all you wannabe lawyers out there.
Jeez. Huh. Pound on the podium.
I've heard one of those three, you know, which is, you know, pound on the facts.
Like, right.
You know, I mean, that's generally speaking, I think that's what most people in the United States believe will, you know, get them out of a bad situation when the government attacks.
Yes.
Right? They're being
just
accused of something. They've got a court date to go or a hearing or something. Right. And they're like, well, I'll just tell the truth and reveal the facts. That's not how it
no,
works.
Because the facts might not be in your favor legally.
Right.
Right.
Right. So you, yeah. if the law is in your favor, which, you know, they'll still find a weasel way out of it.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, the common trope for going to court and going to trial is, well, the state has required to prove all elements of the crime.
No,
so if there's four elements of the crime, well, no, they do. That's the facts.
Okay.
Right? They have to do, but they don't, and they win anyway.
Yeah, their rules say they're required to do so.
Right.
But in actual practice,
Right. But if, you know, but if you can prove that one, that they don't have all the elements,
yeah.
Then that's what you focus on
right.
In trial.
Right.
They're missing part of their case required to prosecute me.
Yep.
Right. And that's what you focus on. Now, right. If they have all of that, well, then, well, you know.
And the jury has to convict without any doubt.
If you can
so
get a jury.
Can, if you can bring the doubt into it. Then,
yeah, but you know, we know not only from experience, but from, you know, anecdotal evidence, as well as a bazillion, you know, libertarian and freedom activist types who've gone to various versions of court, that juries really aren't, you know, you don't, it's not a favorable
your peers,
matchup.
They're not really your peers.
Yeah, it's not really a favorable matchup.
And that's the other thing, right? This isn't legal advice, but if the law is in your favor, you don't want a jury. Right, you want a bench trial,
right?
Because the judge is required to follow
the law.
Law,
right?
If the law is not in your favor, then you want a jury who then might have the option to nullify based on the facts.
The facts, right.
And then if you don't
so have to sway the jury.
Based on the facts, right?
You got
to
sell.
You got to sell them right. that the law should not apply, even right. though it does, right? Right. They have to nullify the law.
Right.
It's like, this is a bad law.
I still maintain that the thing that got Ian Freeman convicted by the jury was prosecutor's arts and crafts day.
Okay.
They paid some of their team of umpteen lawyers and, you know, interns and all that kind of stuff to put together this large poster board with, like, the pictures of the old ladies and, you know, drawing lines and, you know, charts. From Ian's face to theirs yep. and, you know, putting, like, you know, numbers that they mentioned in the trial on the. It was, like, literally, it looked like something like a 12-year-old kid would do for Arts and Crafts Day. And then in closing arguments, they just held this thing up. You know, right. and repeatedly pointed to it, and the jury was like, oh, well, look, mm-hmm. look at that, pictures on a board. Yeah. Oh, oh.
Must be true.
Screw the facts.
And I don't want to sound like I'm poking holes in the defense or taking shots at it, you know, after the fact,
yeah.
right? But if the law was in his favor,
yeah.
right, if you're like, well, they're trying to accuse me of whatever,
yeah.
and they can't prove certain elements of that crime, then you wouldn't want the jury. You'd want the judge.
Yeah.
Right, just the judge on the bench.
It has to follow the
law. Because it has to follow. And if it doesn't, then you can appeal, and you're likely going to win on appeal.
Yeah, when right. bureaucrats attack, ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience.
Sounds like a movie.
There is no winner. You it's never
mitigation
win.
Of damages.
Right. It's just, oh my gosh, immediate damage control. What is the, how can I hope for the best outcome? You're not going to win, quote unquote.
You've already lost.
You've already lost. They're attacking you. You're going to lose money. You're going to lose time. You might lose portions of your life, you know, depending on how things turn out for you. So the best that you can do is attempt to defend and deflect to get the best possible outcome for you. That is the least amount of harm done by the state to you at the least cost to you.
Now, I will point out as well, since you mentioned the prosecution.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't have the law in their favor. They didn't have the facts in their favor. Right. So they pounded on the podium for the emotional appeal.
Ah, they came up with the little arts and crafts thing.
The arts and crafts thing is an emotional appeal to get the jury to feel bad for the quote unquote victims.
Right.
And not feel in favor of Ian Freeman.
Right.
So it's the same strategy from the other perspective.
Right.
Thank you, Mark Furman. Well, that's.
I mean, he's you know,
right.
Well, yeah, but he put it into words, but it's probably a well-known practice in that field.
Right. Is that like Lawyer 101?
I don't know. Maybe. You got to talk to an attorney.
Yeah, this is not legal advice.
This is not legal advice.
We are not attorneys. Yeah.
I'm pounding the podium.
We are just...
yeah.
Yeah.
Look how ugly he is compared to this good-looking guy over here.
That's basically the... like yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this guy deserves... Look at him. He deserves to be in jail.
He's not wearing a suit.
Doesn't he just look like a crook? Right.
Look at the orange jumpsuit he's wearing.
Yeah.
Would a good guy be wearing an orange jumpsuit and sackles?
Exactly.
He's clearly guilty.
Right.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
That's legitimately part of it.
It's theater.
Yes.
It's
speaking of Ian Freeman, I am going to post this to our social media, but he has been moved to FMC Devons. There is a new address to write him at. I'm not going to say it because there's a bunch of numbers and stuff in here, but I will post this to all of the Free Talk Live social media, so Twitter, Facebook, Mastodon.
Geographically, where is FMC Devons?
Same place Aria is, Massachusetts.
Okay.
So this says Ayer, Massachusetts. I'm not sure if that's the exact town.
Devons, Massachusetts?
Ayer.
A-Y-R-E?
A-Y-E-R. Oh, it's close.
According to this.
Okay.
I didn't write this, so... yeah, same facility Aria ended up at, so it's drivable from here.
Okay.
I'm told that Mrs. Freeman was able to visit Mr. Freeman for the first time since the move. So there's that. So we do have a new address for you to write him. This will be where he will be supposedly for the duration. Every now and again, prisons do weird things, so... but let's just hope that this is where he will be for the duration until the appeals process starts kicking in and all that.
That was my next question. When's the appeal start?
Yeah, I don't have access to his attorneys. I would redirect you to Mrs. Freeman.
Okay.
For that kind of information. You know, if she doesn't talk about it on the air, you know, feel free to, you know, say, hey, yo, Bonnie, you know.
That also presumes I listen to the other shows. Well,
I tune in.
I did presume. It's true.
Yes. There's just so much content, man.
Yeah. No, it's true.
It was hard enough when it was seven nights a week and I was like listening to all the shows as a listener to keep up.
Yeah. During the post-raid time when I was on for, I don't even know how many days in a row, like 18, I don't remember the number, but I was listening to Riley's Digest on the daily just to, like, you know, remind myself of what we did already talk about so I didn't cover something twice, you know, that kind of thing. And then I was doing that before already to hear what the other hosts, you know, we're talking yeah. about, so that, you know, not only did I not double cover, but I also could speak if somebody called in the next day, because sometimes some of our affiliates will broadcast on delay and that kind right. of thing. They won't broadcast us live. And so sometimes, or somebody will be like, yeah, I wanted to call in last night, but, you know, we'll get those kind of calls. So, but
that's why I try to listen to like last night's show or the first part of last night's show on my drive over here.
Yeah.
So I'm at least moderately informed of what might have been talked about.
Yeah, and if nothing more, you can ridicule, well, me at least.
Okay.
You know, when you get here on Sundays. So, yeah, the good news is we have heard from Ian. He has been moved successfully from his previous location to this new location at FMC Devons. And I will post this article that was put together by Mr. Penguin on freekeen.com to all of our social media so you guys can get the address and how to write to him. So. There you go. That's the news of the day.
Are they going to keep him separated from Arya?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. He's in a different level of security than okay. Arya is.
Supermax.
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know. That's where they put the, let me see.
Criminal masterminds.
No. I'm trying to remember the phrase that they used. Sophisticated cyber criminal.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the term that they hurled at Mr. Freeman. During his trial.
I hope he puts that on his business card when he gets out.
That's a real resume booster right there.
Seriously.
I might add it to mine, even though I have no such thing, right? Like, just, it sounds cool, right?
You are such a sophisticated cyber criminal, you've just never been caught.
Maybe that's a good name for a band.
Sophisticated
cyber criminals. Okay. Make it plural, so it, you know, names the whole band.
Run it through one of those AI generators. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. So... Before we go into any of our stories, let's just pick up this call, because this is, I don't remember the title that we're supposed to call you, Jeremy. What is it? You're the something-something TikTok?
TikTok correspondent for as long as TikTok still lasts. Well, no, hopefully it'll still be around the rest of the world.
What kind of phone line are you on? You sound terrible.
What?
Oh, he sounds great. He's on the SIP line.
I know.
Yeah.
Man, roll with it.
I started to say last night, but I didn't. Sidetracked. I started calling on the SIP line because, yeah, it did sound terrible when I was on a regular phone line.
You crackled a little bit in the beginning, but I knew you were on the SIP line.
You sound like a correspondent.
Oh, that's probably wind.
Okay.
Yes. How
correspondent quality?
How goes?
Move the microphone away from your buttocks.
How goes the TikTok?
It's going well. I just wanted to say on the topic you were just on, best wishes to Ian. For however many years he's stuck in the new spiritual retreat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know that he's able to keep a good positive mindset. So that's, and grow spiritually while he's there.
I will pass your well wishes on to him.
Thank you. Yeah. So, now you were just talking about having to listen to listening to the digest on your way in or listening to last night's show. Now you're going to have to start listening to all the TikToks so that you can respond to those. Cause this is from a whole week ago.
Not going to happen.
You guys were talking about,
I'll just delegate that to Richie Rich.
<What happened>?
No, a whole week ago, you guys were talking about just after, Iran, bombed or tried to bomb Israel, that, you know, now World War II was, or three, whatever we're in, up to, was about to start. And
Cold War.
Joe Hero 962 says Eisenhower warned of the military industrial complex in his farewell address, and then the next president was reining them in until Dallas. So I thought, let's find out where you guys are on the conspiracy theory. Did the CIA kill Kennedy?
I mean,
probably.
Yeah, like Oliver Stone convinced me. You know what I mean? Like that movie he put out. I was like, yeah, it's got to be
back
into
the left.
You know?
Back into the left.
That's what I was going to say. I'm with Mark that I don't pay a lot of attention to conspiracy theories because the government does enough crap right in front of our faces. What's the point of digging into all of it? But I had a high school political science teacher who believed in the Kennedy assassination, so in the CIA conspiracy theory around it. So that left impressionable young me believing that one, and then Oliver Stone cemented it. And it's a really good movie.
Here's always my question to the conspiracy theorists. Let's assume you're right. The CIA killed Kennedy.
Okay.
We have the facts. Alex Jones has the documents. Right? What are you going to do differently?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, probably not much.
Then who cares?
You know. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Well, okay, fine. Watch the movie, enjoy the movie. But my point is, like, if you're spending your activism going around trying to convince people of conspiracy theories, right? Are they going to functionally change how they operate within the society that you're in, right? Are they going to arm up? Are they going to turn into preppers, right?
Is it time for a coup? A modern day conspiracy theory would probably motivate people to do things a lot more than JFK or the moon or whatever.
You know? Sure.
Because it's so old.
Like, 9/11 was an inside job. 9/11. What are you going
to
do differently?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so 9/11, then you fast forward to the Cerveza sickness. I mean, you know, you could talk about monetary collapse and everything, but I think the closer that the conspiracy theory is, probably the more you're likely to converse with someone, because, like, people's eyes go, who's JFK?
The
only other one besides JFK that I entertain is the moon landing, which I heard was faked, but it was done by Stanley Kubrick.
Stanley Kubrick,
and he insists on filming everything on location. So,
well, that's why they killed OJ, right? Because he was in Capricorn 1, which is a fake Mars landing movie in the 70s or whatever.
I haven't heard that one. That's new. That's new to me.
Kubrick shot everything on location. That's good.
That's pretty good. The thing that I found funny was at this past year's Pork Fest, the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Someone thought it was a good idea to invite a politician to come and speak.
The name of Kennedy?
RFK. Robert frickin' Kennedy. That's what I
thought. Oh, yeah.
And so, of course,
Robert FCC and Kennedy?
That's the guy. Yeah. So they put up metal detectors and asked everybody to disarm whoever wanted to go in and see him speak. Yeah. And so a bunch of people showed up where everybody's armed just because they can be, right? And it's one of the most peaceful events you've ever seen, but they're like, nope, we're not taking any chances.
It'd be like charging tickets and adding a tax to it.
Right.
And so, I just wanted someone to park a Lincoln on the top of the hill.
They did. No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, good.
Really? Yeah, somebody, and they also stuck signs in the grass of the hill. It said Grassy Knoll.
Okay. Whoa,
right.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, all right, I mean, good. They really were playing it up. Good. And I was like, yeah. And they had, like, people, like, who were fully armed, and I mean fully, right, like, standing outside of the designated disarmament zone where he was going to speak. But, like, you know, there was enough, gun rights, people, or people who were just upset that they were going to do this at a liberty-oriented festival that has never disarmed anybody up until this time that I'm aware of.
Up until holier than thou showed up, Mr. Politician.
Yeah. And then, like, he's not even a libertarian.
Nope.
And never claimed to be. And, like, is he even a Republican? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
he's an activist.
Is he, or is he just, a politician trying to...
Running on name recognition.
I don't even think he's a politician.
He's running for office.
Yeah, but he's never held... It's like Trump was not a politician before he was elected.
Well, he wasn't
dog catcher and then mayor and then councilman and, working his way up to be president.
Yeah.
This is just a long shot. Yeah. I think it's just
on name recognition alone.
But it's also a good way for him to put information that he has out there publicly, whether he's going to win or not.
If Biden goes into full dementia and Trump's in jail.
Right, they bring Big Mike out.
Oh, geez.
Hey, man, if El Chapo can run the cartel from prison, Trump can be president.
From prison?
From prison.
I think it would be great to have a president on house arrest at the White House.
Putin can only meet with Trump during visiting hours of the jail.
He's wearing the ankle monitor around the White House.
He can't leave house arrest. He's only at
the
White House.
You're confined to the West Wing, sir.
Oh, my gosh.
That's great.
Anything else, Jeremy?
No, I just hope that I brought out the conspiracy theorists to make that the whole show tonight.
Hey, we appreciate you and the work that you do. Thanks for the call, brother. 603-283-6160. If you want to call, talk about whatever's on your mind or whatever the hell we're talking about.
I'm down the rabbit hole on conspiracy theories.
I mean,
I'm trying to read more books. I'm not spending any more time on TikTok.
E-books.
Yeah.
I don't have a TikTok, so.
I don't have TikTok.
I'm old. Like,
I have one.
Yeah.
And I don't do anything with it. Like, whenever the new technology comes, I'm on the cusp of millennial. Like, I'm a zennial. Yeah. Like, I'm in that range, and I accept that more than millennial.
Oh, you just park an account and just have your account.
Well, you do not act your age, sir.
Right. So, like, at one point in time, when library first was a thing, right, I heard about it, I created an account, and like a year and a half later, my buddy goes like, dude, you got to try this thing called library. Like, LBRY.
And you go to sign up. It's like, you already signed up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I've already got an account, dude. Like, I'm just waiting for everybody else to get here.
Yeah.
So when TikTok came around, like, created an account.
Signed up.
Left it there. Was not intrigued by it at all.
Right.
Didn't care.
Yeah.
And moved on.
Yeah. And all these, like.
But I'm also not bashing it, right? Because it's effective at getting a different generation involved.
Yeah.
So keep doing what you're doing. It's just not for me.
It seems weird that like a new version of social media needs to be reinvented for every generation. Like, so that it's kind of like every generation, they used to have their own music. Like, oh, man, I'm all about the music from the 60s or the 70s or the 80s, man. You know, that kind of thing. Like, you'd have a generation. It seems like every generation now needs its own version of social media.
I'm a MySpace guy.
Yeah, they can't just join an existing one. A new one has to come out of nowhere that nobody ever heard of, and they join it, and all their friends join it, and that kind of thing. It's really weird the way these social media organizations have to brand and rebrand themselves.
Yep.
To connect with an audience.
I've got my Free Talk Live Mastodon. I'm on the Matrix servers.
Right.
I just don't do anything there because it's worthless to me.
But I mean, I don't think kids want to be like, oh, my mom's on Facebook. She might see this. Or like,
they have Snapchat.
They move away to a different technology. Like, the parents can't keep up with it. So.
Unless you're a zennial parent, then we're in everything.
Or
you just
your
don't
dad
see us
is an IT professional.
Yeah. And your phone has a back door.
It really is. 603-283-6160. Still to come. A whole bunch of good stuff, including Weekend at Bernie's Part 3.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. BitRefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. But what about paying your bills? Spritz.finance can do that, and they can send dollars to your bank account in case you still need those for some reason. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
That's the
Sunday night edition.
That's the bad guy from Inspector Gadget. Claw. Dr. Claw?
Dr. Claw. I'll get you next time, Gadget. Next time.
But there's never a next time.
There's always a next time. That ran for seasons.
Well, and maybe two movies or something, but like they played it every year for like decades. Right? You know, like.
Yeah. When you're a kid, you don't know what seasons are. It's like you watch the same cartoon and there's a rerun, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number in the studio, if you'd like to join us, 603 283 6160, also known as the domestic terrorist hotline.
Yes.
Again, 603-283-6160. The FBI, for certain, is listening. We learned that.
All your calls are monitored by the FBI. Along with
your call will be recorded for quality assurance purposes.
Your call will be recorded and monitored by federal authorities
for quality and quality purposes.
Because they like to threaten free speech and put people in prison for victimless crimes that harmed no one. And in fact, they like to put people in prison for catching more criminals than they ever do. So anyway,
They were on our radar.
No, they let those guys go. Those are the ones that get away with it.
Yeah.
If you want to get away with mass murder, step one is to get on the FBI's radar, because then they'll let you do it.
Well, get on their payroll.
Well, that too. Yeah.
That's guaranteed.
You know, or like join the military, become a cop, right? Become a CIA guy or an FBI guy or whatever it is, right? Like, get on the payroll. You're way more likely to get away with theft, murder, abuse,
rape,
you know, all these kinds of things than, you know, not being on their payroll. Now,
if you want to mag dump into your own cruiser, become a cop and wait for an acorn to
fall. Wait for the acorn to fall, yeah.
Now, if you do that, you are going to be morally compromised, because you can't be a moral or principled person and be a statist simultaneously.
Oh, tough choice.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got to live with yourself if you decide to live on the government dole, knowing that you are taking stolen money as your paycheck, which, ironically, they also steal some of that from you.
Take the taxes out of your stolen money.
You just get paid less. Now, let me throw this out there, because there's a lot of libertarians in New Hampshire in the legislature.
I didn't notice.
Right?
Sure.
Are they morally compromised, in your opinion? Or is it different because they don't have the same
In my opinion, I appreciate what these guys are trying to do.
Okay.
Right? But in my opinion, it's they're morally inconsistent.
Okay.
Right? I'm trying to think, was it Larkin or Molyneux or somebody who was like, trying to change the system from the inside is akin to trying to join the mafia and turning it into a charity organization.
That was Molyneux.
Okay, so, like, that's my opinion.
But ironically, Larkin Rose wrote a fiction book where, like, that happened. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, it's fiction. Yeah.
It's true.
Well, if you can't beat them, join them. And then if you join them, then you can beat them.
Yeah, so, like, do I enjoy that there's a movement of people who are, you know, running for offices and trying to vote down things and trying to, you know, gin up excitement for, like, NH exit and, you know, removing what's commonly referred to as the state of New Hampshire from the United States and seceding? Yes, I absolutely love all of that. Anything, like, I will take baby steps in a direction to more freedom.
Okay.
Right. A reduction is still a reduction is still a reduction. It's just that so very few are actually capable and actually have the follow through to reduce it in some meaningful way.
Would you give a pass to morally compromised individuals if those compromised morals were used in the promotion of more liberty and freedom?
Well, I don't know what you mean about give a pass. Can I be friends with somebody who is a libertarian and has a state position? Yes.
Okay.
And I believe that I am. There are certain people out there who, you know, hold these positions, and I consider them friends.
Okay.
So to that end, yes, but I can't change the fact that they are morally compromised by being an employee of the state.
But they don't make a lot of money.
No, they don't.
They don't take
here
a lot
they
of,
don't.
Here, no, they,
here
don't.
They don't. Right, yeah. So, like, it's even more like, you know, I guess it would be if there's degrees, right? That would be a much lesser degree than somebody, you know, being a salaried politician for their entire career.
Right.
Right. These are people who have day jobs.
Career politician.
Yeah, day jobs, 9-to-5ers, you know, that kind of a thing, or they own businesses, and then they're also a state rep.
Right.
Right. Right. So,
but I'm not necessarily centering it on New Hampshire, just in general. Yeah. And to sort of give an example for you, Steve, since you asked what do you mean by that, it is my general position that if libertarians anywhere want to win elections and gain that power that they so desperately seek, they have to act immorally.
Right.
Because
to compromise.
That's what politicians do.
Right.
And that's clearly the path to victory. And also, libertarians in general, even libertarians here, need a black ops division to do morally questionable things that put the other politicians in a bad light, right? And focus energy on that. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, politician now, is married, you send in a hooker to like go love on him or whatever,
yeah.
And then you take the salacious photos and circulate that, but they don't know where it came from. It doesn't know that a libertarian is the photographer.
Yeah, but that's what they do in D.C., though.
Yes, and look how successful they are.
They're all compromised down there.
And look how successful they are.
I know. Well, that's the thing. They get down there. They get them all drugged up. They get them with hookers. They, we're going to videotape this. You play by the rules.
So if you want to get control of local politicians here, what's the play to gain control of local politicians here?
So we need to develop a black ops.
Get them in a morally compromising position that they don't want to get out of and blackmail them.
Wouldn't that be a yellow and black ops?
Sure, I'll take it.
Yellow and black ops.
Since those are the colors I typically rock.
And you do match the peace flag in here there today, too. Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty sweet.
But that's what I mean when I say, like, would you give those people a pass for acting immorally by our own standards in order to further...
I thought you meant that the libertarian representatives are compromised. Like, if you don't vote this way, we're not going to give you a little piece of the action on this bill or something like that.
No, they already are. They will admit to that, right? Okay. That's political capital. Why won't you introduce a pro-liberty bill? Well, I don't want to lose my political capital on other issues that matter more.
Right.
Right. So somebody has asked me, I'm paraphrasing here, this.
Not quoting.
Not quoting.
I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the exact quote here. But I pointed out that government as an institution violates consent. Right. And that's just a fact.
Yes.
Because you can't show me where I consented to be ruled by these bastards. And so, the organization itself is immoral because of that, right? And so using force to get your way is always wrong, no matter if it's somebody using force to make things go the way I want them or somebody using force to make things go the way they want them, right?
Yep.
So I might agree with a whole bunch of liberty reps getting in, taking office and reducing taxes, reducing bills, right? Getting rid of old laws that have no reason. I might agree with their actions, but it is still wrong for me to force anybody into that opinion.
Sure.
And so, but that's what the state does. The state forces you into whoever wins the majority vote, the popularity contest.
Well, and what we know thus far is they're going to be violent and coercive regardless.
Right. They, in fact, claim a monopoly
monopoly on this. So wouldn't it be better if they were violent and coercive in our direction?
That breaks decorum in the state house. The rules.
Not in my opinion, because using force is always wrong, whether you're using force for what you perceive to be, your way.
Yes.
Right? Or the right way in your mind, right?
Yesterday was 420.
Yes.
Right? Do you want to violent and coercively legalize weed, or do you want to violent and coercively continue to prohibit it?
I want all laws regarding marijuana to disappear.
Which is going to take violent and coercively initiating laws, proposing amendments to current laws, to remove them. Right. You never remove laws. You only add laws that revoke the previous law.
Well, I didn't put the laws in place, so I cannot remove them.
Well, you can't, but they can. Right. They like I don't remember the number of the amendments. But prohibition.
I think the best outcome would be for just the elimination of all marijuana laws.
I got it.
Period.
But the constitutional prohibition did not remove the constitutional amendment that prohibited alcohol.
Right.
They added another one that repealed the prior.
Right.
So now you have two instead of one less.
Right.
So you can do that with marijuana coercively and violently through the state system.
Yeah.
Right. Or you can coercively and violently keep it prohibited.
I would prefer to not coerce or violate any man.
Okay.
And leave their decisions to them.
And then it remains prohibited then.
Well, I'm just saying, if individuals would just be like, yeah, you know what, you do you, as long as you're not harming anybody, And they agree, and they go, yeah, you know what? I can do that. You do you, and as long as you're not harming anybody. And, like, we have the right and ability to defend ourselves or subscribe to services to, you know, like, take personal responsibility for our own security. So why wouldn't we do that? And then if everybody were to just do that, and, I can't force anybody, I won't force anybody to my preference, but that would be my preference, is that everybody just takes personal responsibility for themselves and their own security, and then all of a sudden government is completely useless. So there's no reason for it to exist, and we just ignore it out of existence.
The interesting thing that you mentioned there is the ability to defend yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And what we know is that these state actors have armed offense and law enforcement.
Yep.
So your ability to nullify the law is either because they're ignoring you or that you're defending against them. And wouldn't it be nice if the way that they were ignoring you is, again, because you had people inside the system as, like, high-level sheriffs of the county who were like, no, I'm libertarian. I'm not going to enforce that. Yeah, I'm not going to send my forces out.
But that's like the family members, like, oh, yeah, my uncle Joe is on the force. So, like, you know, watch out for him. Or, like, oh, I could probably get that ticket kicked out for you, right? Like, like it carries the favoritism of force.
Yes.
And that shouldn't exist.
And you're outnumbered.
Right. It shouldn't exist, but we know it does.
Yep. Mm.
And so it can exist in your favor or against you.
Well, it's the world we live in.
Which is why I am friends with some of these liberty-oriented state reps. Because, you know, are they doing things that are remotely connected to my personal philosophy? Absolutely
probably,
they are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're making progress, so it seems, right?
You know? If you have an uncle on the police force, right, do you want that ticket thrown out or do you want to go to court and fight it? Just pay it.
That being said,
I'd go to court.
It would still be
wrong.
Even
if you could get it thrown out with your uncle?
Yeah. Because then if I have to pay it in court, and then I'd have him try to throw it out.
Oh, okay.
But it would
at least take it to court first.
It would still be wrong, right, whether or not it was in my favor, to force anybody else to that preference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Via voting, you know, for example. That kind of a thing.
So, morally, I'm with you.
Yeah.
But those are this is why there's no traction made right from that perspective is because you stand on the morals and you get run over by those without any right. You're entering into a fight,
aka the state,
right? You're entering into a fight knowing the other guy is going to cheat, and you insist on still playing fair.
Well, having a moral stance I think is important from the perspective of leading by example.
Sure.
Right.
Lose with dignity.
And you know, it's where I'm at right now.
Take your pride home with you as you lick your wounds.
Am I human? Will I change my mind? I don't know. It's possible, right?
I'm not even saying you should.
I don't think I should.
Okay.
Like, I don't want, it's the golden rule, do unto others, right? I don't want anyone else forcing me to their preference, so I will not partake in forcing anyone else to my preference.
And I will take the WWE golden rule. Do unto the man as the man would do unto you, but do it first.
Well, sadly, we don't see much of that. Speaking of...
Someone's going to get home to the family tonight.
I guess
be you.
The best thing we can hope for is gridlock so nothing gets done.
Well,
no,
you know, I think...
No, maybe not.
Of all of the ideas, right? Like, there was, what was that failed gulch that was supposed to go down in Chile?
Oh, yeah, I remember
10 years ago or something. There's been a bunch of, like, these ideas. The Free State Project, there's, you know, people have moved to, like, Acapulco.
Well, look what's happening in El Salvador. They're trying to import 50,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, to be
the Ron Paul County in Texas.
Liberland is accepting, you know, applications for citizenship and this kind of thing. So there's a bunch of things going on. But, you know, outside of becoming a gray man, right, that is one who's mostly invisible to the system. You know, you transact outside of state currency always.
So you're talking about
that kind of thing. No, I'm not talking about hair. I'm talking about, like, as far as the
grid. I think
that's
all of us in this room.
Yeah, you just remove yourself from the grid as much as possible.
Yes.
Right? And then live as freely as you can. Right. Outside of that, the best idea I ever heard was the Free State Project combined with secession.
Yep.
Right.
Right. It's still, like, you know, unless I'm looking to move overseas and, you know, retire or something like that.
I mean,
like,
El Salvador sounds good, but...
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think the best chance for people who are Eleuthromaniacs who enjoy being free and have an insatiable desire for freedom. I think the combination of something like the Free State Project or the Greater Liberty Movement here in New Hampshire,
right,
combined with the NH exit stuff, is the best idea going.
Right.
And the 400 state reps. I mean, I think, what is it, 3,200 people each state rep? Was it 32,000? No, 3,200, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3,200 people per state rep.
In that respect, I have already voted with my feet, at least within the United States of America, by moving here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I've said, oh, look, New Hampshire is consistently number one in freedoms of all kinds, and a couple of different places put out these annual reports on this, and New Hampshire is consistently number one, mm-hmm, if not number two. If they're not number one, they're always number two. Mm-hmm. They're always one of the top two, at least in the last decade or so. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, if you survey the landscape and you go, there's nowhere on planet Earth where a government hasn't claimed the land. There's only 200 countries on planet Earth, but somehow they've claimed all of the land. There's nowhere you can go and just actually live as a free man without a coercive agency of violence governing you.
Seasteading.
So, okay, but
yeah,
there's no place on, well, there's no piece of earth that
no
you can go.
There's no piece of earth.
There's no slice of land
where
you can go. Unless, I mean, maybe you could buy a private island or something like that, but I'm not wealthy. So
I'm pretty sure the state of Hawaii still has jurisdiction over Steve Ellison's island.
Yeah. So, you know, if you survey the land, the earth, I still think New Hampshire is the best thing going.
Right. And to your point, like, it has a better legislature than any other state.
Right.
And part of the problem is, even with that secession movement, there are those within that legislature that think the state is the ideal size of government. Right, because you go like, well, once we get rid of the federal government, then we can work on getting the state government gone. And they go, well, you don't want to do that. You don't want counties, because then counties will have different laws. And how's it going to be when you cross from county to county? So, you don't want that. You don't want all the counties having, you know, same when you like drive into Vermont, Massachusetts.
People are so ridiculous. They're like, are there wars right now between counties? No, there aren't. What makes you think that, like, in the event of like states seceding or whatever, that anything is really going to change regarding that?
Look, this was from a local political candidate.
Yeah.
Like, when I first moved here several years ago, like, those were their words. State's the ideal size because counties are too small. You don't want to have different laws county to
the
county.
The ideal size
the state
for what?
Run.
Controlling and mandating people? And,
yes. The ideal size of government, because county governments are hard to travel through when each county gets to set their own rules.
Oh, that's like, you've seen the movie?
Prominent member
you've seen
of
the
Free State Movement.
You've seen Escape from New York?
Oh, of course.
That's like saying, actually, we need smaller walled-in island prisons. The ideal walled-in island prison would be, you know, some smaller island, less than Long Island, right? You know, something smaller than that. That's what people are saying. They're like, oh, we want our tax cattle farms to be of a smaller size because it's easier to govern you and boss you around and tell you what to do.
Like, what would happen if you had to go from Keene to Marlboro or whatever, or Walpole, and there were different laws in between? Like, how would you even handle that?
I mean, that already exists. In each of these places, there are already different ordinances and city, you know, like stuff, and, you know, different fees for parking, even, all that kind of stuff.
I mean, you could do
like
55 coming into Keene, but as soon as you hit Keene, it's like 25. Like, what?
Yeah. The worst part about coming into Keene, the way I come in, there's a sign that says City of Keene, speed limit is 30.
Yeah.
Unless otherwise, you know, posted.
Yeah.
And then, like, 10 feet later, it says posted speed 25.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
Like, come on, man.
Come on. What is this?
And you know the road pirates are always hanging out near that sign.
Oh, you know they are.
Nice straightaway.
One little curve.
Yeah.
So, again, I applaud everyone who is trying to forward more freedom for people, right? Do I agree with everybody's methods? Nope. Do they agree with mine?
But nope. your way of doing it is doing it on the radio.
I mean, this is my activism.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Some people write articles.
Also, I've thrown my art into it. Like, even before I was on this show, man, there are libertarian anarchist themes running through all of my music if you go back and listen to my back catalog.
Right.
So, where can we find that back catalog, Cap?
CaptainKickass.com.
Thank you. Well,
thanks for reminding me to promote myself. I am horrible at promoting myself. I don't even mention my website most nights that I'm on the air anymore. Like I did, like when I was, you know, the EP's coming out, and I got to tell everybody to remind, you know. But like I'm a horrible self-promoter.
Well, you got the ad during the breaks.
I did get Zeus. That's the coup de grace.
That was a big get.
That's the coup de grace. Like
that's more kick-ass than kick-ass.
I should see if they'll play the commercial at Porkfest.
Yeah.
I've been contacted about using my music. I'm like, yeah, sure, that's fine, whatever. You know, here's links to the files or whatever. Go ahead and use my music during Porkfest. But like, I
would have been spiteful and said no. I didn't. Just the way they treated you when you tried to promote it.
Oh.
You know, it would be almost to me more of spite to have the actual song played at the festival,
all right. That's right?
You know, at a sanctioned event, right. You know, one of the big speeches, that kind of thing.
Charge them a licensing fee at least. If they're gonna have politicians there and put up no gun zones, they pay a licensing fee. Yeah.
Like in reality, at least the song "It's Time" was made at Porkfest, for Porkfest, by Porkfesters.
No, I get it.
You know, that kind of thing. So, like...
And then they went, this is not the place to promote that, Captain.
Well, one person.
Okay.
You know,
don't burn any bridges. Yeah.
But, so, like, to me, it would be more of a win to actually have it shared in front of its intended audience.
All right.
Like, I'm down with that.
Fair.
And it's kind of a captive audience at that point, too. So, like, you know, if there's a big thing under the... What do they call it?
The pavilion.
The pavilion, yeah. You know, and in fact, I think maybe like Ari is going to give a talk, and I think they're going to use the music like either before like her entrance or exit music. I'm not sure.
Get one of those sonic cannons and just point it at the person that wouldn't let you play it, like all Porkfest. So that's all they hear.
Oh, like an LRAD? Get a police LRAD.
Why am I always hearing Captain Kickass's LP wherever I go? Does anybody else hear it?
I've had this idea. Like, what if people
Havana Syndrome.
What if people just had theme music that followed them around instead of, like, names?
Right.
Wow. You know, like, oh, I can hear Richie Rich coming. You know? Oh, that must be the captain coming down, right?
Yeah.
I think my general theme song is Bad Reputation by Joan Jett.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll take that.
That's a good get. Yeah. I like that. Steve?
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
You don't have
a theme song?
Yeah, like a song that just says, I am Steve. I am Steve Class. This is my song.
I don't know. It'd probably be something from Tom Petty, but I can't think of.
Freebasing? I mean, falling?
No.
Sorry.
Freebasing. I'll think of it. I'll get to the top of the hour.
Freebasing. That's my parody of Free Falling that I've never finished, so. As much as I complain to other people about, like, don't just give me part of the song, man.
Yeah.
Like, I have so many of those that are like, oh, that might be a good idea, you know?
I'm telling you, lean on the AI. It's a beautiful thing now.
Well, man, that, like...
What, for writing articles?
All right, so look...
Or just come up with ideas?
As an artist, I realize tech hits art first. But, like, AI is supposed to make our work lives better so that we can focus more on doing art.
Yes.
But, no, it's doing the art for us. So what, we can focus more on work?
Yes.
Screw
welfare,
that.
Welfare. Come on.
More Free Talk Live is coming up, 603-283-6160. Coming up, we're going to talk about a weekend at Bernie's 3.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live.
And we're back. Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for harmonizing.
Oh, thank you.
The best edition.
The best
of Free Talk Live.
It's either the beginning of the week or the end of the week. It's the beginning of the week.
It's the beginning of the ending of the beginning of the end of the week.
Are we going to do this every week?
Every Sunday.
Okay. Every Sunday.
I mean, not that, but the show, yes.
Well, two in a row.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, sometimes shtick makes itself.
Yes.
You know, you have to be open to shtick sort of.
I'm a big fan of the callback jokes.
What am I looking for? Like being organic.
Okay.
Right. You know,
original. Original.
Yeah. Octopodes, for example.
There you go.
You know, like that made itself. Right?
Abiogenesis.
We didn't decide to do that and then do it. Like we just did it and then like it became a thing.
That was like 4 years ago.
I know, and it's still going. Like
we have not dropped it.
We're probably never going to. I mean, we might go weeks without mentioning it or something like that, but you know.
Other but whenever than that, it comes up.
Yeah.
Whenever we're looking for the plural of the word we don't know the plural of, it's bam, octopodes.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. With fees of less than a penny per transaction, Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org.
Org.
I don't know why I emphasized the
it's
G
not,
there.
It's not org. It's org.
I just, you know, yeah.
O-R-G-U-H. Org.
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 There's a dot everything now.
Yeah,
top level domains.
Yeah,
I have one of these what they call unstoppable domains on the blockchain.
Okay,
and like it sounded really good when I read about it, and I'm like, oh, I can get one for free. Sure, sign
me up. Unstoppable.
Yeah, like supposedly, there's all this like these people who worry about like the government's going to shut down the internet, right? Which
it's not a DNS like, server, it's
right?
A,
yeah, it's in they've replaced DNS
TCP/IP
with something on the blockchain somehow.
Oh.
I don't understand how the tech works, so pardon me for not being able to explain it better. But
it's like a crypto website,
essentially. Yeah, one that can never be taken down by anybody.
It's decentralized,
right? But, now that being said, I've done nothing with it, and I keep getting emails from the guy. They keep offering like new, you know, dot whatevers or subdomains, you know, like, hey, you got this. Do you want another one? And it's like, well, I don't even do anything with the first one I got yet.
Captain Dot Kickass.
But, yeah, it's like you own the domain somehow, and I don't remember the rest of it. But if this sounds appealing to you, which I don't know why it would. I've done a horrible job explaining
call
it
and explain.
There's a little piece of software that lets you create .onion domains.
Yeah.
For that you can only be browsed on, like, Tor browsers.
Route.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
The dark web.
I meant to say right, and I said route.
Route.
Route. Route.
Router.
Route. Route.
Route.
Route you are.
Yeah, you ever notice, like, they talk about
Root.
Route 66 when it's Route 66.
Route. Ooh. Yeah, I'm getting calls about that.
I know. Also, I grew up in an area where there was a street called, like, Roosevelt.
Roosevelt.
But I also lived in an area where there was an area called Roosevelt, like a town area, and that was pronounced Roosevelt.
Roosevelt. Hmm.
And I was like, why is it pronounced Roosevelt? And they're like, that's just how it's pronounced. And I'm like, no, it isn't. Because I was thought,
I mean,
Teddy Roosevelt. You don't hear anybody going Teddy Roosevelt.
No. Yes. And then we moved to New England where everything is pronounced wrong anyway.
Worcester.
Worcester, perfect example.
That is some of the worst Chestershire sauce.
Worcestershire.
Or Peabody. Peabody.
Peabody. Peabody.
Yeah, Peabody.
Peabody.
Right.
Yeah, like they're what? Like Peabody.
When I was a kid, I watched a cartoon and it was not Sherman and Mr. Peabody.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You're saying it wrong.
It was Mr. Peabody.
Mr. Peabody.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's
Concord. Portsmouth.
Yeah. Conquered. Like, you know, you're a tyrant and you're going to take over some land. You've conquered them.
Yes.
When I first got here, I'm like, oh, that's over by Concord?
Yes.
Which is how everybody else says it.
You're right. Not from here, are you?
Yeah.
Right.
That might have been why. Like, oh, yeah. We know who the Furners are.
Yeah.
Furners pronounce things correctly. Furners.
Well, a dead giveaway in Connecticut is when if you're watching a local news and they'll say, reporting live from Route 9 in New Britain. You're like, where's this person? Because it's Route 9 in New Britain. There's no T in New Britain.
Right, yeah.
So, you, like, but right away. Right away. You're the new reporter.
Speaking of dead giveaways.
Oh.
oh, he's segueing into an article.
Wow, Captain.
Two of us had the same article. Two or more of us.
I thought all three of us did.
Perhaps all three of us
I didn't
did.
Put that one in.
You didn't put one in?
Okay.
Oh, I put the number two story.
The Weekend at Bernie's?
I put the number two story.
Okay. Right. I put it in, and you must have put it
okay.
in as well.
I definitely had it.
All right.
I just wasn't looking at the icons, I guess. I thought that was all Steve's.
I read the other article, but I'm going to go with yours just because I haven't read it.
Aw.
This from RT.com. Woman wheels corpse into bank to secure loan. You guys have seen Weekend at Bernie's?
Yes. Of course. The movie, right? And the sequel.
Maybe our listeners have not. It's these kids. The Utes. The Utes. They have some kind of a party, and the owner of the house sort of dies, but they have to, like, you know, prop him up in hilarious positions and take him on drives in his car.
To secure the business deal that's upcoming after the party.
Right, yeah. And so hilarity ensues. And then they made a sequel, number two. To that, and that's where they stopped, except, well, perhaps now they have material to make Weekend at Bernie's 3, thanks to this woman.
Life imitates art.
Erica de Souza Vieira Nunes was arrested in Brazil and reportedly trying to use dead relative to borrow $3,000.
That's it?
If you're going to go through all of that, I mean, come on.
At least make it $30,000.
Yeah. I mean, wait, isn't what's the economy in Brazil like right now?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's the guy that's saying telling his own country to read Mises, so probably not that good, but improving.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe $3,000 might be a lot.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. But
I'll ask the magic rectangle.
Hey, what a good idea. If only there was a device.
If there was only a device.
A woman in Brazil has been taken into custody after she wheeled the corpse of an elderly man into a bank, claiming he was her uncle and that he would co-sign a loan. According to media reports citing local police, Erica de Souza Vieira Nunes, who claimed to be the niece and caregiver of 68-year-old Paulo Roberto Braga, wheeled the cadaver into the bank in a Rio suburb on Tuesday and told the teller the man wanted a loan for 17,000 reals. That's $3,250 US.
Okay. Reals.
Reals?
Yeah.
Reals? Reals?
See, burners,
Worcester, Ferner,
burners,
Concord, Concord,
Concord.
Yes, it's not Concord and it's not Concord. It's Concord,
Concord.
Yeah, like Concad,
Concord Street, Manchester.
It's like I got a deck of cards, right? Concord.
Okay.
Right?
The Real.
I'm going to continue to pronounce it correctly. Screw the locals.
Okay.
We're taking over. That's the whole. That's right. That's the whole point of the project.
It's the new way of saying it.
Yeah, when we officially take over New Hampshire, we can start pronouncing things correctly.
Well, we're going to move the capital so we don't have to say Concord.
I don't care if people want to pronounce things incorrectly. Right. That's fine. Yeah, you know, like
you can be wrong if you want to.
Yeah. Anyway, she held a pen and moved his dead hand, presumably, forward to no response. Footage from the bank security camera shows.
Sign the document, uncle.
Yeah, she put a pen in his hand. Oh, my God. Uncle, are you listening? You need to sign, she reportedly said, suggesting she sign for him. Sign so you don't give me any more headaches. I can't take it anymore, the woman added, grabbing a hold of the man's neck with her hand from behind.
What if he died on the way there? And just, you know, because he had shallow breathing to begin with, this was his normal thing, even though he was on his way out.
Yeah.
So when she left the house, perfectly alive, acting like this.
Going to the bank.
And maybe he was going to co-sign for a loan.
Yeah, maybe. You don't know. Can't ask him now.
I don't think he's well. He doesn't look well at all, remarked one distrustful employee.
He's 68.
Was he not wearing a shirt or something like that?
Nunes replied, he doesn't say anything. That's just how he is.
Again, old and enfeebled.
Didn't they make excuses for Bernie and Weekend at Bernie's to talk and not,
it's,
you know?
Honestly, it's been a while since I've seen the movies, but I have seen
them. I wonder if there's a photo, but the dude's face is pixelated. So we can't tell if he's
should have put a COVID mask on him.
Can't tell if he's wearing shades or not.
Enhance the effect.
Like Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's. He doesn't say anything. That's how he is. She then addressed the deceased man. If you're not okay, I'm going to have to take you to the hospital. Okay. She's talking to a dead guy.
But first, we're going to McDonald's because I'm hungry.
Over my dead body.
Apparently. I mean, she stopped at the bank first, right? If you're not okay, we got to get to the hospital. That may should have been the first stop. Let's get him well so he's able to co-sign a loan for you.
And afford McDonald's after
And afford McDonald's after. Right. Yes. Uncle, where's your card? Where? Oh, it's in your pocket? Here you go. It's on him today.
Bank staff became suspicious as the man's head kept falling back, and they called the police, who arrested the woman on the spot. Nunez has been charged with fraud. The corpse was taken to the morgue. She knew he was dead. He had been dead for at least 2 hours. The investigation.
See, how
officer,
far from the bank was she? It's Brazil. I don't know how far apart the banks are.
Maybe it was a two-hour drive.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The investigating officer, Fabio Luiz Souza, told news program Bom Dia Rio on Wednesday. I have never come across a story like this in 22 years, quote, as a cop, unquote, added Souza, who said visible signs of liver mortis left liver, L-I-V-O-R.
Rigor mortis?
Liver, I think it's supposed to be rigor mortis, but I don't know. Left no doubt as to Braga's state. Maybe they call it something different, or perhaps liver mortis is a term that I've just never heard before. It's L-I-V-O-R. If you are familiar with this term, you can either do what Steve's doing.
Check the magic rectangle.
Yeah, or...
Did you mean rigor mortis, editor of this fine website?
What would be the opposite of rigor mortis?
Oh, it's well, there is a such thing here. It's liver mortis, also known as post-mortem hypostasis or post-mortem lividity, a passive process of blood accumulating within the blood vessels in the dependent parts of the body as a result of gravity, causing a discoloration of the skin that varies from pink to dark purplish.
So he had
pooling of blood
in his limbs?
So maybe he had the liver mortis before the rigor mortis.
Right, okay. Yes. Right. Is it pronounced liver or livor? Because it's spelled livor.
And livor, livor.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You're not a local. It's livor. Livor.
It's something entirely different in Portuguese.
It's probably word. Like livor.
How they pronounce it, I have no idea.
Livermortois.
I'm not a medical student. I don't even play one on this show.
Unless we're talking about the longest words people know, and then all of a sudden... Captain's vocabulary is enhanced entirely.
I've never been called Captain Vocabulary before. Okay.
Put that on the business card.
It's, vernacular, right? That's a synonym for, there's another word I can't think of now. Nomenclature. There we go. Yeah, vernacular and nomenclature.
Sure.
I like those two words. They're kind of synonymous. There's a bit of a difference between the two, but I like those words. It was later determined, back to the article.
Okay.
It was later determined that Braga had been dead for several hours prior to his trip to the bank. Police said they will look into the circumstances of the man's death.
What time were they at the bank?
I don't know.
Because if he was like, yes, I'll give you the loan at breakfast, and then he like died right before they were ready to go to the bank, I'd be pretty upset if I was her too.
They will try to determine whether Nunez is actually his niece and whether other people were involved in the alleged attempt to commit bank fraud.
over $3,000. They're going to investigate this to the fullest. She didn't even get the loan, and they're going to throw the book at her.
Yep. I don't usually read the comments on these, but the first comment says, no strings attached.
Clever.
I don't need to read anymore.
Okay.
I'm just going to scan this other article because...
For finer details?
Yeah, just to see if there's anything. Because, sometimes... It's not usual. Usually, somebody puts a press release out on the AP, and everybody picks it up and runs the same damn story.
Might as well just read the AP.
Yeah. But I'm just looking here to see if it's blah, 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 blah. That's all the same. Brazilian journalists shared their viewers' bewilderment. So these are quotes from journalists, apparently. It is just unbelievable. It seems like a wind-up, but this is serious, the news presenter exclaimed as she told viewers about the scandal on the Globo News Network.
Is it really that serious? I mean,
she could have just said, well, this is a TikTok challenge it's viral.
It's not, he was dead for 2 hours. It's not like, she was desecrating a corpse.
If right? I get 1,000 new subscribers to my Patreon, I will then wheel this corpse into a bank and attempt to get a loan.
Okay.
Right. Now, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that that could be the way somebody promotes this and turns the press into something.
Right. It's a publicity stunt.
It's a publicity stunt. Now they can write a book and, you know, all that kind of crap, right? You know,
so. I'm just saying, you know, not dead for that long, hardly considered, like, you know, no. If she had gone to work that day and he died before she got home from work, right, she wouldn't be in trouble for, like, having the body be dead for 8 hours before telling anybody, right? Mm. She didn't get away with anything. They clearly caught her before any fraud was actually taking place. Right, it was an attempt at it, not actual fraud.
Right.
And if she had a criminal history of this, they probably would have noted it in the article that this fraudster has attempted this multiple times throughout Brazil and Argentina and wherever the hell she happens to be. And they didn't mention any of that. It's probably her first offense, you know, in Brazil.
She'll be out on bail.
In Brazil, where I don't know if we're able to find it, but the economy can't be all that good.
She goes on to point out the obvious. She has gone into the bank with a cadaver and has tried to get money with a human being who is dead.
Yes. And failed.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yeah. And failed. So I'm not saying she didn't commit a crime, but I don't think it's all that serious.
Another journalist, Camilla Bonfim, was similarly stunned. This is the last straw. This goes beyond all limits because there can be no doubt about the difference between a living person and a dead person.
Clearly, she's never seen a vegetable at the hospital.
Yeah, I guess. Ana Carla de Souza Correa, a lawyer representing Vieira, insisted it was not. The facts did not occur as has been narrated. Paulo was alive when he arrived at the bank, Correa told reporters, claiming there were witnesses who could prove that. All of this will be cleared up, the lawyer added. We believe in Erica's innocence. So,
they were at the bank for 2 hours?
A little bit maybe different perspective.
Or Brazilian doctors don't know how to timestamp a body.
Well, and you can't tell the exact minute somebody expired. You take a best guess based on the evidence in front of you.
Right.
Right. This is not an
exact
science.
Which they have in the liver mortis.
But it's not an exact science.
Understood.
Right. Like, I might look like I've been dead for a week, but I've only expired an hour ago. Like, that's totally possible. Like, people exist in different forms of deterioration before they die.
Well, let's see the video footage of them walking into the bank.
Oddly enough, they provide zero footage, either of these articles, even though footage exists, which I assume
might be part of the investigation.
Part of the investigation. Yeah. They put a clamp down on that or whatever. Like, it's against the law for you to share footage of active investigation.
You don't want
to
taint the jury.
Active investigation.
There are juries I'd like to taint.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One in particular. Weekend at Bernie's, part 3, Race to the Bank. Yeah, there we go. We have multiple number two stories.
Number two stories.
It could be a double flush day. We don't know.
Ooh.
And they're both slightly different.
I would hope so.
I can't decide which one. So,
no two number twos are the same.
So
one's a little softer than the other.
What do you tell your friends about?
One's a little, less viscous.
Let's go with that one.
Less viscous. Yeah, the viscosity is lower than the other one.
What about the velocity?
Ooh, I don't know.
I think that one right there has probably more velocity because it's from the air.
I love ripping on New York City, so sure, why not?
The splatter marks left behind.
Right. This from the New York Post.
The New York Compost.
The New York Compost. Nice.
Nice.
The number two stories always come from the New York Compost.
Somebody give Steve a gold star or something.
And it's applicable to that news source as well. Right. Very credible, New York Post.
New York City property owners see big increase in $1,000 pigeon poop fines for the birds.
Wait, if a pigeon poops, people get a fine?
I don't know. I haven't read this. Okay. There's a guy, a middle-aged guy holding up some sort of a piece of paper in the photo accompanying the article.
It's probably a fine.
It says, David Rose holds up his pigeon poop fine from the city. That's the caption of the photo that they have there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The city's health department isn't taking crap anymore.
Who writes these? This is AI generated.
When it comes to pigeon poop, I don't think AI has mastered
comedy.
Dad.
Not as well as they've done music.
Yeah. not yet anyway. Yeah, right. I'm sure it's coming, but we're not there yet. Give it a couple of years. The city's health department isn't taking crap anymore when it comes to pigeon poop. Socking landlords with 29% more summonses. Is that the plural of summons?
Summonses?
Summons would
summons.
Be the plural of summons.
Summons.
Summonses?
You know, anyway. Summonses. Summonses.
One summon, two summons?
Socking landlords with 29% more summons.
If the pigeon takes off from your building, you are now responsible for where it poops.
In 2023 compared to the previous year. Data was reviewed by the Post. The agency,
has to be a New York thing.
The agency,
how can we tax people more?
Well, yeah.
For the birds pooping.
For the birds pooping.
That's tax. That's money right there.
We're missing
tax
out.
Tax the poop.
We're missing out on a huge source of revenue, guys. Like, what are we going to do? Can we tax the bird poop boss? Great idea.
We've got Visa cards to give out to those immigrants.
Yeah, you're going to be promoted and running for office with ideas like those, son.
They have a rat czar.
They do. Yeah, it's true. The agency issued 295 summonses last year to property owners who failed to clean up unsanitary pigeon conditions.
Oh, okay.
Compared to the 228 dished out in 2022.
So it's not for the pigeon pooping, it's failing to clean.
It's like 70 more from the previous.
Piled up on the sidewalk or something.
Well, whose responsibility is the sidewalk? That seems like government property, right?
That's government property, right?
If it's on private property, like, who cares? Maybe he wants the poop there.
Yeah.
Why is it
yeah.
your business, New York City?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it is the pigeon's business.
It's the pigeon's business. But if it's on public property, that's the state's business. The state, you know. State
I don't want the state doing their business on my property.
They already do.
No, it's their property. Well, it is our property. Taxpayer property.
Yeah,
that's dicey.
That's dicey.
It might be said, but it's not factually true.
Yeah, yes.
I will tell you more about the summonses of the pigeon poop, plus our other number two story.
Double flush Sunday.
The double flush number two stories.
Coming up here on Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. If you'd like to join us tonight, more Free Talk Live is on its way.
Eleutheromania, the insatiable desire for freedom.
Filibuster, holy stink.
It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
Yesterday kind of took it out of me, that's all I'm saying. One can only get so high on 420 and the happening.
All right there, Panama Red.
You know. Panama Red? What?
What?
Who? What are you talking about?
What?
Classic?
What? I didn't hear what he said.
I said, all right there, Panama Red.
Okay, all right. No, I heard you. I was trying to back you up that he heard something different.
Who the hell is Panama Red?
Apparently you, Panama Red.
Why am I Panama Red?
I don't know. He said you're pretty high.
Oh. But what is, I don't understand.
From Meet the Parents. It's from Meet the Parents.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
He's setting up a volleyball thing. He goes, can you spike it? He goes, I have to get pretty high. He goes, okay, Panama Red.
It's a cultural reference that I do not.
Only the kids would know, right?
All right.
Even the sequel, right? Yeah. Can't have that sequel today. Meet the Fockers.
Right, yeah. If you would like to impress upon some Free Talk Live culture on some people, you could visit Liberty Minded. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Liberty Minded. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at libertyminded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. LibertyMinded.com.
They should make some Free Talk Live ties to wear around Liberty Forum next year.
I'm not a fan of the tie.
I know. Let's spice up your suit wearing
I can't remember why. I think it's bougie. I think it's just, it's like,
it chokes you. And it's a threat. Well, if you're ever going to get into a fight, just yank on the tie.
Yes, those are practical reasons. But okay. Like the way that it looks just makes me look like, or makes everybody who wears one look like they are conforming to the club, to the powers that be, to, you know what I mean? It's a symbol of.
It's a little too Wall Street.
It's a symbol of capitulation to the system.
Well, that's why you wear a cool tie. That says, like, look, I'm wearing the black suit, but I'm also spicy with my tie.
No, I'll just, I'll put on a nice shirt, like, you know, a nice dress shirt, you know, collared and all that kind of stuff. And I'll put on the suit coat and the nice pants and all that kind of stuff.
You put the collar stiffener in there to keep it so you can leave the button off and make sure it's nice and tight? No?
Depending on the shirt. Right. Depending on the shirt.
All right.
But no tie.
I like,
no tie.
But no tie. I like the silky shirts.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, I don't usually starch those, but, you know, because starch and silk are just like, you know, play well together.
I've got the shirt straps that like hook onto your ankles so they keep your shirt tucked in.
Yeah, I've seen those.
What?
I'm like,
come on, dude. Wow.
Yeah, there's like a little clip thing that clips onto the end of your shirt and then goes all the way down and it clips onto the.
So your shirt never poofs out and comes untucked.
Wow. Yeah. I'm way behind the times, I guess.
Yeah. No, actually, that's old.
Like, no, I'm way ahead of times.
You've seen the you've seen the
everything
the,
old comes new again.
You've seen the male garters that hold your socks up.
Gaiters.
They're a little thing that goes around the top of your calf.
Yes.
And it's got the little straps that
clip
down.
Keeps your socks up, right.
That keep your, it's the same kind of thing, except it goes the
keeps
other way.
Keeps your shirt down.
Shirt. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Get some.
Yeah, you don't have to show me, but.
I'm not going to. I'm not wearing it now.
Okay, I get the idea.
But if I put on the suit, right, like that's in the collection of things that go with the suit.
Something else that I don't understand, I have worn one time, is the tuxedo. The tuxedo itself isn't what bothers me. It's the cummerbund.
Okay.
That's the little mid thing. It's kind of like a WWE belt without. Like,
I mean,
bling.
What don't you understand about
it's like
it?
A why girdle, it exists? Isn't it? What's the point of it? Like it.
Aesthetics.
Seems useless.
It covers up that section of shirt and pants.
Cumber. It cumbers the bun.
It doesn't cumber my bun. Like doesn't really touch
depends,
my
wearing,
bun.
Depends you're wearing how big your bun is, I guess.
You're wearing it the wrong.
If you're rocking the muffin top, it's not going to be very useful.
If anything, it's a front cover. You're going to cover your front butt, not your back butt. Yeah. Right?
Well, it's also not a bun. It's a bund. Or bunt. Bunt.
I thought it was cumber bun.
Yeah.
Cumber bunt?
There's extra letters at the end.
That don't pronounce?
Right.
Oh.
But it's basically to cover that section so you don't see the pant clips and the hooks and whatnot that are on the tuxedo pants. And
yeah, but it doesn't, like, there weren't any of that when I wore one.
What are you talking about? You didn't clip your pants tight? Like, you didn't button your pants on your tuxedo?
No, those, but I'm talking about what you were talking about, the shirt keeper downer thing, the clips that attach to your shirt to keep it from coming untucked?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have any of those.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, all right.
Because
I thought you were saying it was to cover that up. I'm like, why?
No, that's inside anyway. Yeah. I'm saying, like, when you put on your tuxedo shirt and pants, right, like, usually the buttons only go down a certain length, and then you've got, like, the one white button down at the bottom that doesn't have the fancy button.
Yeah.
Right? And then you've got the little clips on the side so you can have the adjustable part of your tuxedo pants.
Yeah.
And the clasp in the front.
Yeah.
Right? And the cover bun covers all that up, so it's aesthetically pleasing.
Okay. From the magic rectangle, it is a cummerbund.
Yeah.
Cummerbund.
Cummerbund.
Bund.
Cummerbund.
Cummerbund. Probably German, right?
It's German for cummerbund.
So it says the original purpose was to keep men cooler than wearing a full waistcoat. It still proves true today, of course.
Okay.
You'll be cooler wearing a cummerbund.
Because you can leave the
coat tuxedo
open.
Then. A vest.
Because that was my thing about, like, the tuxedo, like, it still closes. At the coat, right?
The coat closes.
You know, so I'm like,
but you don't wear a vest or anything else with it. Or
that's true. That's true. All right.
Well, it says you'll be cooler wearing a cummerbund than a tuxedo under a tuxedo than a vest.
Cooler, as in your temperature will be lowered, as opposed to, like, you'll be awesome.
You'll rock
in
the tuxedo with the cummerbund.
Check me out. Now, something I would consider is just like shorts, t-shirt, cummerbund.
Okay.
You know, just to, like, make people go, what the hell are you doing?
Sock or with the things that hold your shirt down.
Maybe maybe suspenders. Like some good hillbilly suspenders and a cummerbund. I think that'd be a match that, you know, hasn't been thought of yet.
I do have a few, like, dress shirts that I used to wear and coats that I used to wear that I just cut the sleeves off, right? When I was working out more and could flex that.
Yeah. When you were buff rich.
When I was buff rich. Yes. So I would, you know, when it got less of the important time and the formal time, I would just throw that on and just rock the sleeveless with the tie.
I can respect that. At least you're like, you know, rebelling in some way, shape, or form.
That's why I did it.
Against the
norm. No one will complain you're wearing a tie.
No. Right.
Look at it. He's all dressed up. He's got a tie on.
What were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about
pigeon.
Our number two story.
Our number one, number two story.
Our first.
The second flush of the number two stories.
The first flush. We're in mid-flush.
Oh, I thought we wrapped up for the first flush.
Inspectors. So again, the headline, New York City property owners see big increase in $1,000 pigeon poop fines. Apparently, New York City is fining people for not cleaning up a poo left by pigeons.
$1,000
on their own property.
$1,000. They issued 295 summonses last year.
We noticed you haven't done your dishes in a few days. We're going to need to see you in court.
This reminds me of like the British television license, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's so
the surveillance vans just to see if you got. We detect a TV in there. Let's see if he's licensed.
Right. Yeah. Inspectors also issued 76 summonses through the first 2 months of this year, pulling them on pace to double 2022's totals. Property owners are typically first-handed. They're typically first-handed a commissioner's order to abate. That's a stern warning.
To abate.
Not to master, but to
abate.
To abate. Allowing at least 5 days to clean up the mess before a follow-up inspection.
Oh, jeez. Here comes this guy.
A bureaucrat.
Yeah, here comes
there's
this guy.
There's a paid bureaucrat that just goes around looking for poop.
Pigeon poop.
What do you do? Oh, I'm a pigeon poop inspector.
New York City.
New York City Pigeon Division.
They probably flash their, like, fancy, you know, Parks and Rec-looking ID, like, as if it were a badge.
Right.
I have power. I can force you to clean up pigeon poop. Ha, ha, ha.
Show them your badge.
Or else, there's always an or else when it comes to these things.
There has to be.
Allowing at least 5 days to clean up the mess before a follow-up inspection, or else risk being slammed with a summons carrying a whopping $1,000 fine.
So it's legal at a price.
Yeah.
I don't want to clean it up.
What if you're a wealthy New Yorker, or at least, you know, above, you know, average New York income? So you're wealthy by any other
$1,000,
you know, and you can afford it. You're like, it's just like rent, man. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, like how many of these can they give you per year? Is there a limit? Probably not.
Well, they said they only handed out like 200 something of them all year, right?
Yeah, but I'm guessing everybody paid or cleaned, right? Like,
sure.
Right.
You know, or else.
Or
right?
else.
State with their or else, right? You know that there is somewhere behind this, there is a gun.
Right, because if you don't pay the fine, then what? Or else.
Right.
Summons.
You don't pay the
summons. You get summoned again.
Yes, to court.
And then what? Like, how many summonses before, you know, does New York have one of these, does that eventually turn into, like, a misdemeanor? You know what I mean? These cascading laws. Some of these states have these where, like, if you get enough of, you know, a certain kind of citation, then it can become, you know, something that
we're going to take away your permission to do something else.
Right.
Yeah. Three pigeon poop strikes and you're out.
Yeah. We'll make you do community service. Doing what?
Cleaning up pigeon poop
of the people who didn't pay. Councilwoman Joanna Areola.
Really?
A-R-I-O-L-A.
All right.
I couldn't pronounce it any other way, even if I wanted to. Councilwoman Joanne Areola, a Republican from Queens, hailed the unofficial crackdown, saying property owners ignoring pigeon poop is a big problem in her district. Because New York's got like nothing better to worry about.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
Which includes Ozone Park and Rockaway Park.
Okay.
They have a park named Ozone. Why don't they have
a fresh air?
Why don't they? Somebody put a B in front of that and throw all the politicians in the park.
The Bozo.
The Bozo.
Is it really that big of a problem?
What?
Pigeon poop.
I don't live in New York, so I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, if they've got someone working,
it seems like New York is treating pigeon poop the same way San Francisco is treating human poop.
Yeah, but they don't get fined. Right?
Okay,
you know what I mean?
San Francisco seems a lot more legal to poop in the streets. Like, they let humans do it.
Why?
New York won't even let pigeons.
Why aren't they fining the birds?
Right.
Huh?
Because birds aren't real.
Why aren't they forcing the birds to clean up their own poop? Huh?
No jurisdiction.
Birds aren't real.
Why don't humans just not build where the pigeons are going to poop?
You know, we've questioned the bird, and they're incompetent to stand trial.
Jury found him guilty, though.
Pound the podium.
Pound the podium.
Dismissed.
Is that a euphemism? I got to go home and pound the podium.
Pound the pigeon.
With Miss Areola.
Wow. Yeah, it doesn't say if she's a Miss or a Mrs.
Okay.
Just says councilwoman. You okay. could at least okay. get some counsel on that.
Okay. Yeah. At least we know she might be female.
They.
Yeah, it doesn't say council person.
They, them.
Way to go, New York.
Now with more pronouns.
New York compost.
I expect better from those people.
I lost my place. Where did my place go?
Just look for the areolas.
Oh, there it is.
Look for the pigeon.
Hey, thanks, man. Good advice. It's unhealthy and unsightly and has a direct negative impact on New Yorkers' quality of life, she said.
Amongst other things.
Because, you know, New York City's job is to improve New Yorkers' quality of life. Like, New York right. has ever actually done that. Show me one example that New York has improved anyone in New York's lives, and I'll show you 1,000 examples of how they have not.
Well, if we go for the pigeon poop, this will be the final thing that'll make it great to live
Again,
here.
I'll reiterate, they have a rat czar, right? Like, the rat problem is so huge.
Are pigeons the rat of the air?
Allegedly. Okay. People will say
according
that.
To New York, anyway.
Yeah. Right. So the
flying rats.
Why didn't they just make the rat czar the pigeon czar?
Maybe
well,
he is.
They'd probably have to have a division, a pigeon division.
But either way, like it seems like the rat problem is a bigger problem for right. New York.
Right.
Right? So it's already bad, and this is just makes it a little bit worse.
I say let's get rid of the politicians and let the rats run the place because it would be better overnight.
Or the roaches, right? New York roaches?
Roaches, rats, pigeons.
Was Joe's apartment based in New York?
Remember I believe that? It was. Yeah. Yeah, with the roaches.
Nasty.
Stuff. Yeah.
Small, cramped apartments.
Roaches.
Exposure to pigeon dropping in rare cases. This is the fear now.
Exposure
to pigeon dropping in rare cases could spur respiratory problems and other health issues, according to the health department.
How much do you have to be exposed to?
It's probably causing heart attacks and myocarditis, right?
Oh. There's a conspiracy
yeah,
theory for
you. Yeah, there
you
go. It's the pigeons that are doing it.
Oh, my God.
You just gave them the idea.
New meaning to carrier pigeons.
I was lamenting earlier that, you know, summertime's rolling around and I'm already upset because the birds are out and they're pooping on my car.
Yeah.
I was like, it's just an annoyance. But it's not like, oh, my God, I'm going to have a respiratory infection or whatever.
Don't clean your windshield because that might give you myocarditis.
It could. All right.
Don't touch it.
All right.
Gotta go get the vaccine for that.
But David Rose, chairman of the Fordham Road Business Improvement District in the Bronx, ripped the $1,000 nuisance condition summons he received on February 8th as unfair and unnecessary, especially since more serious issues like rat infestation.
See?
Only carry a $300 fine for first offender property owners.
Sounds like discrimination.
Okay.
It's not even their fault.
Yeah,
the whole city has a rat problem.
Yeah,
and they're gonna like blame individual owner occupied dwellings.
Yep.
For the problem that exists within the entire city that no one can solve because they're overrun.
Right, and also like they don't even know like how many like underground former tunnels and sewer
subways
places and all that kind of stuff. Like they're nesting in
and then coming to the surface.
Right. And the city doesn't do anything about that. The city doesn't get fined $300 a day for that. Or $300 an incident or $1,000 an incident for that.
They'll fine themselves. You know?
They don't
they're causing the problem and like blaming the victims.
Hegelian dialectic.
Ooh.
Problem, reaction.
We have a solution. It's $1,000 fine.
That's right.
To you. Yeah.
The city is focusing on what they describe as a public nuisance of less than 1 square foot of pigeon poop at a time.
1 square foot.
1 square foot.
That's a big pigeon.
That's a huge pigeon
poop. How big are these pigeons?
New York size.
Pterodactyls.
They've got mustaches and Italian accents. They got gold chains on.
Texas size pigeon in New York.
They get to vote.
Voting is for the birds.
Only if they can crap more than 1 square foot.
Is that the criteria? You're going to get a lot of immigrants being able to vote now.
the city is focusing on what they describe a public nuisance of less than 1 square foot of pigeon poop at a time. When business corridors are dealing with significant quality of life issues, and as elected officials consider legislation.
Oh, there you go.
From the officials.
That would further cram our already overcrowded sidewalks, said Rose.
If only everybody did their part, then we wouldn't have to fine all y'all.
All y'all?
All y'all.
Yeah, not just y'all, but yeah, all y'all.
All y'all.
He said, referring to a controversial proposal that would allow street vendors to put push carts in the middle of sidewalks.
What does that have to do with pigeon poop?
I don't know. You would think that...
You're reading a different article, Kevin.
No, it's the same article. AI. He goes on to say, I've seen a lot of...
Just a hallucination.
Maybe I'm AI. There is an A and an I in Captain.
Okay.
In that order.
All right.
There's more than one A, but like, but the A and the I together.
Are together, yes.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of crap over the years, but this one is really for the birds, he added.
Oh.
The city's 311 hotline received 1,060 complaints about pigeon poop last year, up nearly 10% from 969
What's
a year
wrong
earlier.
With New Yorkers?
Call 312 next time.
They're calling a hotline to report pigeon poop.
Yeah.
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 Okay. I mean, if you're okay with that culture, fine.
I'm not okay with it.
I'm just saying.
I'm just not surprised.
Okay.
Because rather than do something about the problem, like, you know, get out there and clean it up, right? They'd rather call, well, this is a job for government. No, it isn't. No job is for government.
It's not.
They don't even do a good job of anything.
Is pigeon poop really that bad? Like maybe when it's wet, but it dries so quickly.
It's probably the if you see something, say something snitch program in New York City. Okay. So if they get 292 of these $1,000 summons, it's $292,000. They could pay someone $100,000 a year to just I was gonna say rat people out about their pigeon poop, but
you know who's really responsible? It's the old ladies in the park feeding these birds. We should find them.
This is a poorly written article too. In 2023, the health department, acting on the complaints, issued 604 warnings to property owners bombarded by bird droppings, a 39% increase. From 2022. During the first 2 months of this year, the agency issued 106 warnings, including the one for David Rose on January 31st. Councilman Robert Holden, D. Queens, said property owners play a big role in keeping neighborhoods vibrant, but believes a $1,000 fine, especially for a first offense, is too harsh. Yeah, so now they're gonna worry about the degree of penalty. Right, the degree of fascism, the degree of force and violence that they're willing to use against you.
We all agree it's wrong, but this is outrageous for a penalty.
Okay, then we'll take it down to 300. Oh, thank you, government. Thank you.
I mean, okay, if they're talking, here's the other weird thing, right? If they're talking about businesses, there's already an incentive to clean up, right? Because
you would think
people wouldn't want to go where there's poop, like right outside the door,
right?
So if you're trying to get customers in, you just clean it up.
Yeah.
So who are they forcing? Right? If businesses aren't doing it voluntarily, then they just lose their business.
You would think.
Right? That's the natural occurrence of things.
Yeah,
that's a market function.
I don't live there, and so I don't know, and this all seems very preposterous to me.
All right.
Whatever preposterous means.
It is preposterous.
It's before posturing, I guess.
Preposterous.
They were going to posture, but they're posturing before posturing, so it's preposterous.
That's called the warning.
It's like
if it's posterous, then you get the fine.
Could something be post-preposterous?
Post-posterous?
We live in a post-posterous world.
That's preposterous.
Yeah, I don't like any of this at all. No, sir.
Nope.
This reminds me of George Carlin's the pre-boarding process.
Oh.
For you know, taking an airplane.
Airlines? Okay.
Yeah. What is pre-boarding? How do you get on the plane before you get on the plane?
Pre-boarding.
Like, I don't understand. Yeah.
It's for the rich people.
I say, screw you. I'm not getting on the plane. I'm getting in the plane. It's much less windy in here.
I'm getting in the plane. I drive on the parkway and I park in the driveway.
Yeah.
Goes cargo goes on. By ship. Shipment goes by car.
Cargo beep, beep.
It's a mad world.
It is crazy.
When is a road not a road? When it turns into a driveway.
Oh.
I was thinking of this today because, you know, driving on roads, right?
Right.
And I'm
who'll
like,
pay the, who'll pay and I'm for like, the roads?
you know, it's springtime, so there's fresh potholes everywhere.
Oh, yeah. They're, love that.
You know, and you're like, oh, and you, like, see one, and you try to motor around it and hope you don't get pulled over for swerving because you didn't want to, like, damage your axle or whatever, right? And then I pull into this parking lot, right? And it is just smooth. All the cracks are filled in, like freshly.
Lines are painted.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, man. You know, if ever there was a more shining example of the incompetence of government, it is the roads.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Like these private institutions, you know, they have parking lots, right? Have you ever driven through like a parking lot for like a brand name store, your favorite grocery store, where it's littered with potholes for sometimes all through the summer until they get fixed?
No.
Well, to be fair, it's a smaller operating area with much less traffic than public roads.
Okay, right. But it's also a market condition.
You're right.
Where they're like, oh, we need this parking lot to be safe and smooth for our customers. And it just shows that the incentive structure with government is wrong.
Yes.
Right? Business owners have the incentive, of course, to maintain their property, make it look nice and be nice for their customers coming and going. Government has no such incentive. If they do a bad job, oh, well, vote harder.
Yeah, right. Fire me.
Now, I will throw this out there. I don't remember where I read this. It was comparing like the roads in the United States to the roads in Europe and Germany and the Autobahn or whatever, which is you know, generally nice roads.
Yep.
And the point of the article was American roads are too shallow to be effective.
Right? Shallow.
Shallow. They put, you know, they put like 2 inches of gravel on there,
right?
And then they just repave over 2 inches at a time. Whereas the other roads that last for decades are like 3 feet deep.
Right.
Oh.
Right. And then if you would absorb the cost and up make front. American roads 3 feet deep, then you wouldn't have this chipping and cracking and everything all over the place all the time.
Yeah, you'd have stuff like the stone roads around like the Roman Colosseum that have been there for hundreds of years, right?
Right. And but that doesn't have 18-wheel truckers running over them on a daily basis.
So I that's understand, also not a fair purpose. But technology is such that we should be able to figure that out.
But a lot of the problem is depth of cement and concrete, asphalt and whatnot.
Our number three of Free Talk Live still to come. Our second number two story, as well as some more fun stuff. Stay tuned. Telephone number, if you would love to join us, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Richie Rich.
And before we go on with the show, I must say thank you to tonight's amplifier. Who might it be? Could it be Big Kahuna?
What?
Oh.
That's right. I skipped a name just so I could say it.
Oh.
I figure, you know, he'll listen to tonight's program.
Okay.
Big Kahuna is a silver level amplifier. Don't worry, we'll come back and cover the other.
Well, yeah, what if the person who you skipped over only listens to the Sunday night program and now they're all sad?
Well,
except they don't know.
Well, you know, they wouldn't have known had I not said anything. Right. So I'm being truthful about the situation. And if they can't appreciate that, well, then they should subscribe again. Twice. Anyway, Big Kahuna is a silver level amplifier, which means, Richie Rich, what does it mean?
Silver level? Yeah. $5 a month.
$5.
$5.
$5. And what does the money go to, Steve Classic?
To amplify and support and promote and
advertise, market, promote, and support.
Support.
Amps. Yeah. A-M-P-S.
I spelled it spam.
No, you did fine.
Spam. Spam. I spelled it spam.
Don't do that.
A-M-P-S. You could call it spam.
It is.
S-P-A-M.
It's an anagram, yes. That's true.
Gotcha, yeah.
But anyway, Big Kahuna gives $5 a month because he believes that that's the best use of his Liberty Dollar in order to spread the message of freedom, liberty, peace, prosperity that we bring here on Free Talk Live. If you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, the show, the content that we bring you, please consider becoming an amplifier. We could be on hundreds more radio stations than we are currently. It's all up to you. You can give more than five, but five is all we ask for. You can give 10. There's little perks. It's like a Patreon-type setup, so you get little benefits for becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. Again, Big Kahuna, thank you. We appreciate you.
Not only is he an amplifier, he's also a co-host.
Right.
So. All right, real quick, before we go on, just to cap off the Autobahn thing, 30 centimeters, so like 27 inches, or 68 centimeters, yeah. 27 inches.
2 feet and change.
2 feet and change in thickness. And then generally, the European roads are the twice as thick on the concrete layer, and they use crushed limestone instead of sand on the base.
Oh.
So more expensive,
but
theoretically better. More durable and better, and doesn't require as
much.
We've
been paving with Mr. Limestone. Okay. Right.
Did you finish the lyrics of that?
We've been paving. He won't leave me alone.
A friend of mine had, we've been banking with Mr. Brownstein. He's a knobhead. He won't give me a loan. He won't give me a loan.
Got it. Thought he was going to have something about a lien on his house. Or...
I mean, again, these are unfinished
Now
parodies.
My house has a lien.
So if anybody out there wants to finish writing any of these unfinished parody ideas, feel free to do so. You can send the finished product to Mark at freetalklive.com.
He'll forward them to the captain.
And he'll make sure that I produce them or something. I'm not sure.
I still think you should just take commissions, right? Just charge people. I will finish your song for however much you want to get paid, and if they're willing to
If
pay.
Anybody wants to commission me to do...
Write a parody.
Produce, record a parody song, mark at freetalklive.com.
A jingle for your business?
I am for hire.
All you really have to do is be priced uncompetitively, and that will keep people away.
Like that website you used? Was it the Sumo? What's it called?
Oh, no, that's just AI stuff.
Right, man. That's AI.
Yeah. I mean,
how do you compete with that?
Well,
free.
Well, here's what you do, Steve. You charge people and you put their prompt into HI.
Well, what kind of song would you like? Okay. Let me work on that. Let me work on that for like 30 seconds. I'll get right back to you.
Is HI the AI. The humorous equivalent of AI?
Sure. I misspoke, but you get the idea.
Humificient intelligence?
Just saying.
Humorous intelligence.
For $1,000, I will put your prompt into the AI machine.
We got some calls to get to. Let's go over here. This is Major Payne calling from Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, hello. Happy Sunday.
Hey, Major.
Hey.
Bata.
Yeah, when you guys first started that routine, I thought there actually was a new movie about a weekend at Bernie's. But I think maybe that woman would have fared better if she'd have gone into the mortgage department, eh?
Excellent point. Well taken.
What else as far as the pigeon poop in New York?
Pigeon poop, specifically.
Yeah, but if New Yorkers thought like normal people, there would be a slight uptick in the sale of air rifles and a sale on squab in the French restaurant.
You know, they were talking about these food vendors or, you know, hot dog carts or whatever, that type of thing, rolling out in the middle of the sidewalk. They could just be grilling up pigeon all day long.
Pigeon on a stick.
Maybe the city's paying them to park over the pigeon poop puddles.
I mean,
that's a lot of peas, man.
I never got around to actually doing it, but there was at my old job, there was a bird. I don't know if it was a pigeon, but it would always land on my mirror and then just poop on my mirror. Like, I would shoo it away and it would come back and it would just poop
right
on my
there. Your mirror, it's toilet.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Your mirror, it's toilet.
I'm like, you know.
Were objects in the mirror closer than they appear?
This bird is going to get it, you know? So I went home. I found my pellet pistol. I ordered pellets on Amazon. I got CO2 cartridges. You know, the CO2 leaked everywhere, so I had to buy a new valve thing and gasket for it. I'm like, I'm I spent like $30 and never got to take one shot at
this. Sounds like a,
I was gonna say, you don't want to break the mirror. This would have a bad shot.
This sounds like a good shot.
It sounds like a fun, like a
would have been better with a rifle,
like a rip on like the old Charles Bronson Vengeance,
Death Wish.
But do that, but like Richie Rich will have his vengeance against the bird.
The bird,
right? You know, it's got a montage. Go ahead.
You give me 16 age boys that can shoot, I'll take care of this problem in less than a month.
Then the rats.
Just an excuse to get 16 teenage boys to the
with rifles.
Start your own army. The Michigan Militia. Major Payne's Michigan Militia. Oh, okay.
But it's a pigeon removal service.
Okay.
Right.
But it's called Major Payne's Michigan Militia.
Major Payne's Michigan Militia Pigeon Removal Service.
And other pests.
And squab sales.
Governments.
And what? Wait, hang on. And what major?
Squab sales.
Squab sales.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, okay.
Pigeon on a stick.
There's not enough meats on sticks, I think. You know, there should be more.
Yeah.
Well, I think it takes like I know with doves, they're about the same size. It takes four birds to feed a man.
From experience.
So that's your ratio.
Life lessons probably from Major Payne. You're on Free Talk Live.
3 ounces of breast meat on them, and the rest of them is pretty much no good.
Yeah.
Four birds.
Four. You know, like, I've had pheasant, you know.
Yeah,
I've
that's
had,
a big bird.
Know, I've had the, what's the undersized, they're like Grouse? Chickens.
Game hen?
Cornish game hen, right? You know, I could eat probably two of those, you know.
All right.
I have demolished one of the, like, rotisserie chickens you get at, like, the grocery store. Mm. But,
oh, yeah,
like, I mean, you got to pick a bunch of bones and, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
I usually you know, carve it.
Yeah.
And then shred it.
Like Turkey Day style.
Well, yeah. I mean, before serving it, right? You carve it and then do whatever you want.
No, I just take the thing and open it up and, you know, put it on a table or a TV tray or something. Okay. And, like,
yeah, start eating.
Just, you know, I grab a knife and a fork, you know, but like.
Okay. Not a savage.
Sometimes, like, sometimes you just reach in, break a leg off, and start eating, you know? Yeah.
Depends what time of the day it is.
And it depends on, like, yeah, you know, am I hungry? Am I hot? You know, like, fair enough. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of factors that go into this. Plus,
no side dish.
Plus, if they're fresh off the rotisserie, like, sometimes that's just fall off the bone style, right?
Okay. Well, but if even you,
like.
Better.
But if you, like, buy it, take it home, put it in the fridge, then you're going to eat it later, then it's going to, that's a whole different.
Dries out.
Yeah, you got to take a whole different approach to eating that bastard.
Yeah, those are what you call astronaut chickens. They got their own little capsule.
Major, we missed you. What else
remember
is on your
mind? Last week I called in and I told you guys that this foolishness in the Middle East wasn't over. Israel just hit an airstrike on that southern town in
Iran, Syria,
Rafael or something like that. Rafael, I don't know.
One of the
Ninja Turtles?
The southern town that they told everybody to go to where they'd be safe.
Rafa.
Oh, no.
They figure there's two more.
Why do people listen to them?
Down there, so they're bombing that now.
Every place they tell people to go where it's safe, they bomb. But if you stay, they're going to bomb you anyway. And if you're driving through, like, you know, their cordoned off zone trying to get food to people, they're going to bomb you there too.
I feel like my spirit animal is calling me for the second time tonight. And that is, I have very few rules for myself. But one of them is, I don't believe anything the government tells me. In fact, if they tell me to do a thing, I'm going to do the opposite of that because it's likely far more safe.
Well, but that's the problem with Israel. It's not. Right. If you stay, they're going to bomb you.
Yeah.
If you move to where they told you to move, they're going to bomb you.
Yeah.
If they see you en route that they previously said was safe,
yeah,
they're going to bomb you.
Right.
Blow you up with a drone right on camera.
Yeah. Hey, states do what states do, man.
I get it.
Like, I think they could classify it probably as like rat herding or something. I don't know.
And then they play the victim.
Oh, well, yeah, we're allowed to. They're famous for creating messes and then coming in and cleaning it up and claiming victory. That's their MO.
Yeah. Hey, Major, how about that new money package? What was it? $80 billion?
$80 billion? $60 billion?
Something to Ukraine? Like,
yeah.
All those people on the...
Oh, you're talking about all the benefits for the three wars? Yeah.
They're not doing a damn thing for anybody here, but, you know, let's send a whole bunch of money over there.
Nope. We can't even put together all the rusty pieces of the wall that still remain. Yeah. You know, they took most of that stuff that was ordered and just scrapped it.
I'm not surprised. We need 27-inch roads.
Part of the problem with the Ukraine thing is the propaganda, because they're specifically in my life is my boss.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he is not the low person, the sole person who like holds these thoughts.
Right.
But he dead set believes that if the United States doesn't help Ukraine stop the Russians there, the Russians will migrate their forces all the way across Europe and then into the United States and take over the world. Like that's
what he believes.
That's what he believes in his soul and his heart of hearts.
Really?
That's the end goal for Russia.
He watches a lot of TV, I think.
And listens to NPR.
NPR, yeah. National Pentagon Radio.
If you look at history, Russia has gobbled up certain things that weren't theirs. I mean, you know, they just the spoils of war back in the day.
Okay.
Hell, look how long it took to get them out of Berlin.
Okay, but do you believe that the Ukraine invasion is a pretense to European conquest?
Well, you never know the way a madman's mind works. Okay. I don't know. I can't get inside Putin's head. I ain't crazy enough.
Well, but this is my boss's like heart of hearts beliefs, right? It's a pretense for European conquest that will lead to American conquest, because once their forces have taken over Europe, they will be too big to stop anywhere else in the world.
Was he raised over there, or was he raised here?
No, he's Canadian who migrated here.
He's a Canadian who migrated here. So he did grow up over there dealing with some of this foolishness.
I mean, if you're calling it Canada.
I don't know. I mean, it's what he got told from birth.
Okay.
You know, it's hard to beat something out of a kid that's been beat into him since day one.
But if you believe that, then it makes sense to fund the Ukraine war, right? Because you have to stop them before they cross any more borders. I struggle with that belief, because it doesn't seem like they want anything more. This was a defensive maneuver, even though it appeared offensive, because NATO was infringing and encroaching beyond where they had agreed not to.
Yeah, I know. I've heard Russia's grumblings about that, too.
Right. So,
then, you know, how big of an excuse do you need to start a conflict? You know.
Who started it? Right. If it's NATO encroachment.
In the wrong yard.
If it's NATO encroachment, then NATO started the conflict.
Right.
And then tried to use Ukraine as a battleground by inviting them into NATO, knowing that that was a breach of the agreement with Russia.
What's interesting?
Well, I agree. Didn't exist.
What's interesting is Turkey is part of NATO.
Okay.
And Turkey is supporting Iran against Israel. Now that's going to be interesting if Israel attacks Turkey.
Okay.
Because an attack on one is an attack on all, right?
Supposedly, NATO? Yeah.
So what's going to happen if Israel lobs something into Turkey?
What do you do?
I don't know. Maybe your boss could figure it out.
No, I don't.
Does Israel want to continue?
Is your boss for or against the funding?
He's for it.
He's for it.
He's for it because you have to stop them there before they expand their conquest across Europe and into the Americas. Like that's his belief of what the end goal for Russia is. The goal of Russia is to invade across Europe and get an army so big that the Americans can't stop them.
Well, they did it one time, try to mount an invasion in Alaska.
Okay. That's a much shorter route. And they don't need to go the direction of Ukraine to do that. Right? That's what, it's a 58-mile gap.
The route I would take.
What's that?
I mean, hell, there's a land bridge that's just buried about 20 feet underneath the water.
Hmm.
All you got to do is rebuild the freaking road.
Right. So if that was the goal, to invade the Americas... It's a much shorter route to go through Alaska.
They can walk over.
They could land land the boats, right, 68 miles across whatever water bridge there is over there.
Yep.
And just start the invasion through Alaska. But they didn't. They went the other way into Ukraine.
There was a big stink in the 70s about the Russians coming over and beating all of our baby seals to death.
Okay.
Okay.
Remember that?
What does that have to do with the price of tea in China?
Major. Major.
Major. Major.
Hey, Major, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you, man. Let's go over here to... We've got Tim in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
I was all prepared, and then you started talking about Israel and Palestine and the Ukraine, and I've got a limited knowledge of Ukraine and Russia, but no, I do not believe that Russia's quote-unquote invasion, I put that in air quotes, of the Ukraine is a pretext for whatever global
domination
aspirations.
Well, and if you don't believe that, then you don't need to fund the invasion,
right?
Or the defense of the invasion, right? Like that's
I'm trying to figure out how to stop paying taxes myself.
Get a 1099 job. Just stop paying taxes.
I wonder how many actual American people that are, you know, whether legal citizens or not, I wonder how many people residing within the geographic area known as the United States would actually contribute money to Russia, Ukraine, Israel, or any of these useless fundings. I wonder how many people would voluntarily give their money. It's just a question.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not very many unless they've got family there or have some overwhelming desire to. But what I understand happened in this Donetsk region, and there was another region I don't remember exactly, but basically, over time, there had been a settlement from, basically Russians immigrating. I always get those two confused.
Yeah. One's coming in, one's going out.
And then it became predominantly populated by Russian civilians, from Russia, but Ukraine citizens at this point. And then they voted to be a part of Russia. Whatever, no, I'm not saying Russia's the good guy, but and then after that, basically the Ukraine started bombing the civilian areas within what they claim is Ukraine and what Russia claims is Russia.
Yeah, that was smart on Russia in the early part. They went, we now recognize these two independent cities as sovereign nations, and now we're going to go protect them from Ukrainians. That was a political move, yeah. Sure.
Well, it's kind of like think about New Hampshire. If New Hampshire says, oh, you know what, we're going to vote, we're going to do our own thing. Now, maybe you're not joining Canada, which would be maybe a better analogy.
Yep.
But anyway, you are leaving one. So just as the Donetsk was leaving Ukraine, you would be voting to leave the United States. And then they could turn around and, say, oh, you're terrorists. And they could just start a bombing campaign in New Hampshire.
Right. And imagine then in the analogy, Canada would be coming to our defense and moving into Vermont and Massachusetts.
I wouldn't want to see Canada, in quote-unquote defense, start bombing civilians within the non-New Hampshire United States. It's very easy to get reactionary and, do the same thing your enemy is doing, and it doesn't make it right just because if – they say, oh, well, Russia's using white phosphorus, so the Ukraine can use white phosphorus. I mean, it's just ugly, So I don't think.
Well, anyway, again, it's ugly, but remember what I said earlier. If you're trying to play fair and your opponent is cheating, you are likely going to lose.
Yeah, but I mean more in regards to the things that are affecting civilians. But I just want to say... Stormy Daniels, for the record, I mean, in my opinion, she's pretty gross. And the whole thing where these people, they drag people, they drag their laundry, I mean, it's one thing if there's a lawsuit, behind closed doors, but all this, it's just gross.
Well, and, it was behind closed doors until she opened her mouth and talked about the hush money she was paid to keep it behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say tonight?
It's not the way hush money works.
Yeah.
You'd be quiet if you get paid.
So actually, you're talking about Weekend at Bernie's Part 3. So I've got a friend. He's 87 years old. And we worked at a hotel. I did night audit, and he did maintenance. That's where I met him probably 20 years ago. I don't know. And Anyway, so there was a Russian that came and started working maintenance and befriended him, borrowed $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he took him to the bank and
and then what happened?
Yeah, quickly. He took him to the bank, basically wrote out the check for Bill in front of the bankers on Bill's check and borrowed $20,000. And so...
Unbelievable. Tim, thank you for the call, man. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up. The final half hour of tonight's Sunday edition still to come. Don't go anywhere.
Yes. Back join we our, are and.
Join our spam program.
No.
The thing about shtick.
If you want spam, just go on TikTok.
Yeah. The thing about shtick is that you're free to butcher it at your own pace, your own will.
Sure.
Like, you know, like we just did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, if you join mainstream media, you just do that with the facts.
Yeah. I mean,
what facts? Know.
Exactly.
Alternative facts.
It is Free Talk Live in the studio. It's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Richie Rich.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost, and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party.
Party.
Yeah, party, though, not partay.
Oh, okay. Not as fun. Though.
Foreigner.
Subtle spelling Burners. Difference for you to get there. You can say partay as much as you want, but if you're going to type it in the URL of your web browser, it's forkfest.party.
Okay.
Party.
Yeah.
With a D?
Yeah.
Party.
Party.
Party. Party.
Like, you know, normal party.
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 Party, hardy, rock and roll, drink a six-pack, smoke a bowl.
These parody. Are
poems that I learned in my youth. While, like, you know, hanging out in the back of the bus, right. Trying to figure out how to smoke a joint without the bus driver seeing you. Yeah, no?
No relation. No.
You guys didn't do that?
No. Okay. Yeah, not on the bus.
Man. I brought non-alcoholic beer and non-alcoholic champagne, so basically carbonated water in a champagne bottle, to a field trip.
I remember you talking about this.
And then I got in trouble for it.
Yeah.
I, like, suspended or whatever. And then, it's non-alcoholic. Because I was opening them up. Like, we're on the way back. We went to, like, the planetarium or something. Right.
Yeah.
And so we're on the way back. I reach into my bag. I start cracking a beer. And I'm like, you want one? Yeah, sure, dude. And, like, start handing beers out to, like, my friends in the back of the bus, right? And then somebody else goes, oh, I don't drink beer. I'm like, aha, I've got champagne. But it was just like, you know, carbonated grape juice or whatever, right? You know, and so eventually, whoever the chaperone was,
caught whiff of that
or whatever,
beer.
And they're like, what are these guys doing back there? I'm like, we're having a beer.
It's O'Doul's.
It may have been O'Doul's, actually, but it was one of the early.
It's the only non-alcoholic beer I recall.
Yeah.
Near beer, I think, is the other one.
Yeah. It tasted like beer.
Okay.
And it had like 0.001% alcohol in it or something like that, but like. Yeah. I mean,
still legally non-alcoholic.
Right, yeah. And, like, I bought it. I was 11 or something. I
you
don't
could
know.
Buy it. You
know,
right.
12, you maybe. It. I don't know.
Right.
But he looked 18.
He looked 18.
It was the beard.
I grew the mustache early.
He grew the beard at 11.
I grew the mustache early.
It was an earlier time.
I was buying beer before, any of my friends, right? Because, like, I could. You just act like you've been there before, right? You know?
McLovin.
That's right.
All right.
You know, he wasn't far off.
Okay.
You know, that's all I'm saying. What do you guys want to do? The other number two story?
Our number two story?
Yeah, should we double flush?
Double flush.
Okay. All right. If you guys say so. This from the Los Angeles Times, also known as the Los Angeles.
Credible news source.
For some people, sure.
Was it written by a journalist? Broadcast journalist?
It's under climate and environment. Let's see. Who is it written by? Suzanne Rust, staff writer.
Staff writer, okay.
U.S. government media.
U.S. government media. National Pentagon Radio.
Why didn't she use a pen instead of a staff? Must be more difficult for her to write with a staff. Avian flu outbreak raises a disturbing question. Is our food system built on poop?
Fertilizer.
Yeah.
I would say it is, and always has been.
More so for the vegetarians, because it's right on the food. Let's fertilize that lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
If it's true that you are what you eat, then most beef-eating Americans consist of a smattering of poultry feathers, urine, feces, wood chips, and chicken saliva, among other food items.
Oh, so it's an anti-meat agenda from the LA
Los Angeles. Also, I've just discovered new insults to lob at people.
Oh.
Right? You're a smattering of poultry feathers, urine, feces,
you
and
are,
wood chips.
Yeah,
and
you
chicken
are what
saliva,
you mean, you beef know? Eater. Yeah.
People just call me an a-hole. They're not wrong.
Epidemiologists scrambled to figure out how dairy cows throughout the Midwest became infected with a strain of highly pathogenic avian flu, a disease that has decimated hundreds of millions of wild farmed birds, as well as tens of thousands of mammals across the planet. They're looking at a standard recycling practice employed by thousands of farmers across the country. The feeding of animal waste and parts to livestock raised for human consumption. Okay. I mean, this is...
Yeah. Instead of grass-fed, they're poop-fed.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of gross.
I mean, think about that next time you're getting brisket.
Yeah, but I don't...
Burnt ends.
I don't see the process. I just taste the deliciousness. You know?
Burnt ends.
It's kind of like I don't go hunting, right? I'm not one of these guys that goes and every year I get my license and I go and I get a deer or whatever. You know,
it's the part of getting your license that stops me.
I don't. Well, okay, there's that, but I don't even fish or anything like that. Like I know how to, but I'm just gonna go to the store. I'm done doing that kind of stuff unless I have to, right? If the world,
which you may have to,
if the world goes to S and I need to rely on skills that I've learned in the past, I can do that. You know, I might have to dust off some rust, whatever.
It boggles my mind that the state will, seed the ponds with fish for fishermen.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you already caught it. Just give it to me. We can skip the whole step of, me having to catch it again.
Yeah.
You caught it once. Just hand them out.
They raise them at fish farms. Right. And then put them into giant tubs, truck them across land, and dump them into lakes and rivers. Yes, it's true.
Just give me the fish. Yeah. Can we skip that step? Save the cost?
Yeah.
It seems ghoulish, but it's perfectly legal and common practice for chicken litter, the material that accumulates on the floor of chicken-growing facilities, to be fed to cattle, says Michael Hampson, a senior scientist with Consumers Union. It is still unclear how the cows were infected, whether by contact with birds or via feed made from litter waste, but litter has been associated with previous outbreaks of disease, including botulism. Yes. Dogs get this. Parvo.
Okay.
Right?
Not familiar.
It's some sort of weird disease, but it generally is spread by eating other dogs' poo.
Which they do.
Yeah.
They go right for it.
Right.
Yeah.
A friend of mine had a beagle and used to eat the poop all the time.
Was he a regal beagle?
I don't know. But he had a beagle. And I guess beagles are known to do this. So the veterinarian said, he said, how can I stop the dog from eating poop? He said, the veterinarian said, put Tabasco sauce on it.
On the poop?
On the poop.
You could just clean it up while you're there. But Tabasco sauce.
Yeah, put Tabasco sauce on.
And waste some perfectly good Tabasco. Exactly.
And then you get a bunch of chihuahuas going after it.
What?
Because they like it spicy.
Chihuahua.
Yo, Taco Bell. Poultry litter causing the bovine cases of avian flu is considered very unlikely, though not impossible. Okay, then why did you spend all this time writing this article, I wonder? wrote Veronica Fefele in a joint statement from the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Because they're trying to figure out how avian flu is getting into the cows.
I mean, birds fly and cows don't.
All right.
So
you're correct.
When birds land on cows, maybe the cows are catching a little something.
Okay.
You know? I don't know.
Does that seem more likely to happen on a farm than feeding them.
I'm not old enough to waste.
I think they should send the New York City people there and find the cows for
let's send the rat czar to find out. Poultry litter consists of manure, feathers, spilled feed, and bedding material that can accumulate on the floors of buildings that house chickens and turkeys. It can contain disease-causing bacteria, viruses, antibiotics, toxic heavy metals, not the kind I like, pesticides, and even foreign objects such as dead rodents, birds, rocks, nails, and glass. It's typically mixed with hay or corn to make it palatable to the livestock.
More reason to like buy local and find a grass-fed farm near you.
Isn't that how they make the miracle meat or whatever they call that? The plant-based...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
Beyond beef, yeah. Beyond
they
burgers?
They mix a bunch of ass with, you know, like hay or whatever and
soybeans,
cut it into patties and Bob's your uncle. California bans the feeding of poultry litter to lactating dairy cows.
It's bad for the fetus.
However, it is legal to sell it as feed to beef and other cattle. It is a premium product used to help recycle waste into sustainable products.
It's a premium product. You got to pay more for
it
this?
It is a premium product used to help recycle waste into sustainable products, said Anya Radabau, CEO of Western United Dairies, or Wood.
Good thing her last name isn't Butts.
Anya Butts. Anya.
And Anya spelled with a J, too. Anja. A-N-J-A. Yeah. It could be Anja, I guess. Yeah.
Anja Butts.
Who am I to assume?
Hyphenate with the other chick.
I'm sorry, did you just assume my pronunciation?
Anja Butts Areola.
I guess Butts would have worked for Anja Butts and Anya Butts as yeah. well. Right? So maybe their first and last name could have been the same. Anja, Anja Butts.
They, them.
Anya, Anja. Anyway. She said that although they could not make informed comments about its use outside of the state, there is very little of it used here in California. California's animal feed law, which applies to commercially sold feeds, requires the animal waste products sold for feed must contain no residues of pathogens, metals, pesticides, or antibiotics. The Department of Food and Agriculture's feed program inspects every California facility manufacturing dried poultry litter and reviews firms' treatment verification records on site, said Steve Lyle, department spokesman. So California does have a department of something or another.
Department in. Of something or other?
Yeah, something or another. It's not something or other. It's something or another.
Another.
Something or another.
Okay.
Something or another. It's a. I think Major Payne would back me up on this one. Something okay. or another.
That's California.
However, it is unclear whether there are regulations addressing the private exchange of production of poultry litter or other animal waste for feed, or how widespread the practice of feeding poultry waste to cattle is in the state or around the country.
So they're looking for a way to regulate even more so, because if farmers are doing it privately with, you know, amongst themselves and not putting it on the open market, they don't have an eye on it. So it still could be done. We can't see it.
Yeah, I'm with you on the, hey, go find yourself a localish farm that does all grass fed, you know, or
at this point, I mean, if you know now that they're feeding it poop.
Yeah.
Right.
Feathers.
Feathers, glass, and poop.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's the meat that you're getting.
Well, technically, it's a salad because it's mixed with hay, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I like glass in my salad.
Do you?
No.
I've never ordered no. it that way.
Yeah.
Don't know that I'd like to try that. According to Michael Payne, a researcher and outreach coordinator at the Western Institute of Food Safety and Security at UC Davis. That's a hell of a name. There was at least one commercial processor of poultry litter in the state, Imperial Western Products, based in Coachella. That company was bought in 2022 by Arkansas Denali Water Solutions, which has had recent legal run-ins with environmental authorities.
Dun, dun, dun.
Authority in what?
In Missouri and Alabama over handling of animal waste. It is unclear whether Imperial still produces feed from litter. Then why mention it? Like,
because it was a past thing that was done.
But we don't know. We suspect, but we don't know. Like, how about do some journalism? What is this from? The LA Times? Yeah.
The lame, reputable news source.
Lame-ass Times, LA. An operator at the company directed calls to corporate or Denali Water Solutions, which is owned by TPG Growth, a private equity firm that also sounds like a venereal disease. Denali did not provide comments for this story before publication. The federal government does not regulate poultry litter and animal feed, and in many states, including Missouri, Alabama, and Arkansas, There are no requirements or regulations regarding contamination or processing. First of all, why should government regulate this?
For the betterment of the consumer.
Why should government regulate anything?
Without the regulations, you wouldn't know that your feed may contain glass and poop.
But I think we would.
Right? Well, what would the FDA do?
Number one, they're already allowing it, right? Like whatever they're doing, this is still a practice.
Yeah. Bingo. Excellent point. Well argued.
I wasn't arguing.
No, but I mean, you know, yeah, still an excellent point. The FDA may take regulatory action.
May take.
If it becomes aware of food safety concerns with poultry litter products instead or intended for use in animal food and interstate commerce.
Oh, interstate commerce clause.
The commerce clause. There we go.
An online guide from the University of Missouri notes there are no federal or Missouri regulations governing the use of poultry litter as feed. However, the guide's author urges users to employ common sense. Poultry litter should not be fed to dairy cattle or beef cattle less than 21 days before slaughter.
Less than 22 days is okay.
You can fatten it up, and once it processes out, they feed them the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this is known as grass finished, right? Like you've had grass fed beef.
Okay.
There is a sub quality of beef called grass finished. That's where they eat whatever the farmer
poop.
Gives them.
Okay.
You know,
no,
and
no
then,
poop.
And then the last 6 months of their life or something, they feed them grass.
Okay.
And supposedly that gives it similar qualities to the fed all your life grass fed.
Okay.
Well, it's the appearance.
Appearance, consistency, flavor. These are the things, the hallmarks of grass fed.
That's a new concept for me. I've never heard of grass finished.
Grass finished.
Yeah. It's, it's sort of like faking it. Yeah. You know, a little bit of a costume at the end.
Mm-hmm. Hey, at least they eat well at the end.
Yeah. what do you want for your final meal?
Hey.
Grass.
Grass.
I want some poop and glass mixed with hay.
So here's it's easy to find your local farm and know what they're feeding it.
Yeah.
Right? But the vast majority of people are not going to do that. And I'm not calling for regulations or government involvement. But unless you get stories like this, right, I don't think the average consumer knows or cares what their cow meat is being fed.
Yeah.
Or their pork.
If there was some like expose on like, hey, look at this common practice that farmers have.
Right.
And it got on television or the internet, right? Sans government.
Yeah.
Right. People would be, of course, outraged.
People would be clamoring.
And these farmers would be like, no, we've stopped that practice. We're not doing like it would stop. That's how it works.
Right. You would hope.
It's like the Portlandia episode where they go and they want to know about the grass-fed chicken or the organic chicken, so they go to the farm and the whole, you know.
Right, but the average consumer is not going to do
that. No.
I guess is my point.
Right.
Speaking of dried out areas, we weren't speaking of, but let's go to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Sarah?
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, but I just want to say that today was our New Mexico Earth Day.
Wait, New Mexico wasn't born.
Well, the Earth Day, the environmentalist.
Oh, Earth Day.
Only in New Mexico?
Well, I don't know. No, they have it. I think they were celebrating in Chicago. They're cleaning up the lake area.
Pulling out all the dead bodies?
Cows. Yeah, Earth Day. But what's interesting is that I found out there was a shuttle bus that takes us from the mall out there. It's about 5-6 miles out. I found out today there's a shuttle bus, and they had 100 vendors of solar power and clean energy and all the environmental stuff. I mean, how can you have 100 setups? I mean, because they always come up with new inventions. And what I saw was I found a portable electric bicycle folded up in a white, like a suitcase thing. And I was like, what is that? That guy has a bicycle head and helmet. I'm like, is that a fold-up bike? It turned out to be an electric fold-up bike. And the wheels were only about like 2 feet in diameter.
Yeah, these are called e-bikes. And they've been around for quite some time. The technology continues to improve. And they get faster and, you know, better mileage off of charges, and you can charge them with solar panels and all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah. They're great for your C40 or 15-minute cities.
Well, the thing is that it was a fold-up bicycle. That's the first time I've seen a fold-up bicycle on the bus.
And so people can carry them into work instead of leaving them outside the building.
Right. Like when I worked in Seattle, people were already doing this. They were carrying their fold-up bikes into the building. You know, they would set it down next to their desk, or there'd be a, you know, a certain area, a closet or, you know, a foyer, you know, into the office building that was, you could, you know, lock your bike up and, you know, that kind of a thing. So
did you buy one?
Really cool. I mean, you could also put it in your trunk or the back seat or something. You could travel with it. And the thing is, this was an electric. It was not just a regular fold-up bike. It was an electric fold-up bike. So there is technology. So it's really, I'm sure that those guys were there with the electric bicycle tables and all the new technology. And I've even seen a fold-up electric solar panel.
Hey, I have a question, Sarah. The shuttle bus that you took. Was it gas powered or diesel powered?
Well, you know, I did not take it. I knew that it was available, but we're getting all electric buses or at least hybrid. It used to be natural gas, but I think we're doing hybrid. Like they only use the gas to kind of get them going.
Did you get to see the bus that go into the shuttle bus?
Are you focused on the bus?
I don't know which one.
I just think it'd be funny if, like, you know, a gas-powered shuttle bus carried people to this Earth Day with all this renewable energy stuff.
But I think most of all the new buses we got are completely electric.
Wait, no. They're not electric. They're battery-powered. Right? They don't run on...
I mean, it's electric, but they got a battery, but there's no gasoline involved with it.
What's the distinction you're making, Steve?
Well, an electric bus would run like a trolley car that has, or like an electric train that's connected to the grid.
What about any other
battery? Well, a Tesla is not an electric car; it's a battery operated car.
Okay, but they call it
charge. You charge it.
Okay.
Yeah, the ones that we got, and so it's really interesting. You know, I mean, so I'm just so excited. You know, I mean, we have a say so to, you know, stand up against the big petroleum industry. They're just big bullies. I mean, they to make the money, I mean, they throw their weight around, and also we, you know, and then the environmental, they've done fanatical things. Didn't they splash vandalize all the SUVs in Boston, and they stay up in the trees so they don't cut them down, and I mean, they stop the boat from dumping out fuels in the
another one rides the bus.
I mean,
another one rides the bus.
And another comes on, and another comes on.
Another one rides the bus.
Hey. All right, anyway, go ahead, Tara.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're getting there. You know, here's the thing. Majority of the people want clean energy. If anybody, they say that they still want petroleum, it's the bullies. It's the small minority that want to keep making money.
Hey, you know what you should research, Sarah? Lithium mining.
Yeah, I'm told that's very green.
Yeah. Yeah. They cut down forests to dredge for lithium.
Your Free Talk Live homework for next week, Sarah, is to
give us a report
on lithium mining.
Yeah, tell us how
green it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, bye.
She was like, challenge not accepted. Sarah, thank you for the call. You're a good sport. We appreciate you.
That's the thing.
All that talking about the bus, man. I got Weird Al stuck in my head. I just had to, you know.
The greenies, they only see like the last mile of the process.
Right.
Look how green I am. My electric car is electric.
Yeah.
Or my electric bike.
Yeah, my electric bike.
What did it take to produce that? Quite a bit of not green, man.
quite a bit of diesel fuel in the mining operation.
Yeah, a hefty bit, actually. Yeah.
Strip mines, like just completely wasted.
What is a strip mine?
It's where they just dig a giant hole and start mining away instead of like drilling into the mine. So it's...
Instead of taking away a mile,
it's like a crater into the earth.
Yeah, it looks like a rock quarry or something.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, while they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
To get the lithium to make your battery so you can feel good.
I have lithium batteries on my solar panels at home.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not doing it to be green. I'm doing it because they're going to shut the electric grid off.
Yeah, you're doing it to be independent.
Exactly. Right. When the power goes out, it's my fault.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
If it's cost effective for you, do it.
Yeah.
We are out of time. Thank you, Steve Classic, for joining us. Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you to all of our callers and, of course, most importantly, our listeners and our amplifiers. We appreciate you. If you missed any part of tonight's program, please visit freetalklive.com. Under the resources tab, you'll find the archives. Thanks and peace.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.